It's time for Benedict and Raven football. Heard on your local sports authority, Care Radio 93.7. And streaming at KAIRFM.com. Benedict and Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Ken Hamada at 913-379-8690. No matter if it's winter, spring, summer, or fall, your investment and retirement goals need to be reviewed at least once a year. Hamada Wealth Management has been helping investors plan for over 25 years. If you need to make your IRA contribution or just want to talk, give Ken a call at 913-379-8690. That's 913-379-8690. Or search online at Hamada Wealth, Atchison, Kansas. Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Thanks for listening to Benedict and Raven Football on your local sports authority, Care Radio 93.7. Brought to you by our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management. Stay tuned. The Amberwell pregame and Bank of Atchison coaches show featuring Benedict and head coach Joel Osborne begins right after these messages.
When you visit one of our 8 Union State Bank locations, you're bound to see familiar faces. That's because at USB, community is everything. We live, work, and play where you do, so you're seeing us at the Friday night football game, having lunch at the local cafe, and chasing our kids on the park playground. USB employees believe we are stronger with local ties and local financial decisions. That's why we hope you'll visit a Union State Bank location and find out why we love being a part of the community. NMLS number 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
We've got Coach Osborne with us as they get ready for game 11 of the season. Crazy to think that. But first of all, Coach, congratulations. That was a nice win on a long road game for your team last week.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom. I thought our kids came out. We started fast, got up 24-6, hit a lot of big plays in the passing game. You know, they got some yards on us, but defense did a nice job of getting stops and getting the offensive ball back. And then, you know, it was just really good to see us with the fast start. And I thought, you know, at times we let up a little bit. We didn't finish a couple times in the second half in the red zone. And, you know, we gave up some yards and stuff. But I thought defensively we really made some good adjustments at halftime and shut them out in the second half.
Before we get into the specifics of the game, first thing I want to say is St. Louis loves Benedict and your Raven football team. They turned out, man.
There's no doubt. We had a great showing. A lot of good alumni were there. Boosters, you know, guys from a lot of different generations. So it was good to see those guys show up. We really appreciate the fans and all their support. We had a bigger crowd than Missouri Baptist did.
And, you know, Benedictin with a long St. Louis tradition, and those fans were really hungry to see him again. We haven't been over there in a number of years, and this is going to be a nice addition to the conference to at least get over there every couple of years now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I was impressed with Missouri Baptist's facilities, and, you know, I really enjoy talking with their head coach, and, you know, they're going to be a good addition to our league, and it's a good location there, you know, right there in St. Louis. So, yeah, we enjoyed it. We had a great time.
Well, Jacob had a great time on the first play of the offensive play of the game.
Yeah, somehow they lost him in coverage, which I don't know how you do that, but they did. So, you know, it worked really well, and Jackson was able to find him, and all of a sudden he's run down the field for a 72-yard touchdown.
And that is just an example of one of the earmarks of your team and how you've developed, and that's getting out of the gate fast. There's nothing like jumping to a lead. You did it last week at St. Louis. You did it down at Baldwin. I mean, you guys are obviously, your coaching staff is prepping these guys well and having them ready to go.
That's a big key for us. We talk about fast start, and what we mean by that is all three phases. So special teams, you know, whatever the first play is, getting off to a fast start, and we've done that. And then defensively, offensively, whoever's out on the field right away, we want to either get them off the field if we're on defense and force a punt or go down and score on offense. So it's definitely a big key for us. I think it's a huge, huge confidence booster when you do that.
Yeah, 3 touchdowns, first 3 possessions. You can't ask for much more than that.
No, it was a good start for sure.
And Jackson continues to perform really well. I mean, here's a young man who, you know, comes in. He's not a seasoned veteran, but he has improved week after week after week, I feel.
Yeah, he did a nice job finding the open guys for us, and you know, he's continued to take care of the football recently. You know, and we had some really good stuff drawn up, and I thought our receivers did a great job of getting open downfield on some double moves. We had them confused on a couple of motions and shifts, and they lost track of certain guys. And then our protection up front allowed time to make those throws. And, you know, it was good to see him come out and play well. And he's going to need to continue to do that because as you go along in the season, you know, you got to get better, and that's what we're trying to do.
Was throwing the ball kind of a key for you in this one because for the first time in a while, you didn't have a 100-yard rusher, Dalton, with like 80-some?
It was going to be a big key for us because we felt like we had matchup. We had the matchup there with our skill versus their skill. And, you know, just from a standpoint of running the ball, they were big up front. You know, the nose is humongous. They had their best players on defense were on their D-line. And I thought those guys came out and really played well. You know, it's one of those things where you're also being efficient. So you're not running a lot of plays early on. And so, you know, we established a little bit of a running game in the second half, but you're right. The throwing game was there.
Coach, when we talk about your players, sometimes guys get overlooked. They do things away from the ball, maybe that you don't look at. And a guy who I saw at least three or four times downfield blocking on some of the passes that really allow a 8-yard pass to become a 25 or 30-yard pass. Sean Wara, this guy is downfield. He's making blocks. He's making contact. And even though he doesn't get a little stat in the book, critical to the success of those plays.
Yeah, Sean's done a great job. So he's really embraced his role. There's been games where he's had big numbers. There's been games when he hasn't. But, you know, he's a physical presence. I would consider Sean, him and Dalton both, they can play in the passing game. They can play in the running game. They can protect. They can block for the other back. So those guys can do it all. You don't have to take them off the field in a certain situation, which is a huge, huge benefit to our offense. And it does not tip the defense to what we're doing.
Other side of the ball, Carson Anderson, man, he got some PT and he made the most of it.
I was really proud of Carson because he's coming off an ankle injury versus Baker and did not play versus them. And, you know, he didn't practice a whole lot last week. And on Thursday, we found out that Jagger Blueball was not going to be able to play due to an injury he sustained. And Carson really stepped up and played Jagger's position and then played his own position as well. We rotated some other guys at Jagger's position. So, yeah, he was physical. You could see his presence. There was a goal line stand where Carson absolutely obliterated their tackle, and then we got a loss of one on the play, and then we ended up getting the goal line stand on that play. But if Carson gets blocked, they're going to score on the first play.
We move to week 11. Hard to believe that we're there, and every week is important, but here we are, week 11, conference title on the line here.
Yeah, and this is the position we want to be in and we expected to be in. You know, we've been talking all season about going 1-0, keys to going 1-0, and that's no different this week. The great thing is because of how we've been doing things, we don't have to change, you know, and so our keys will remain the same. You know, we want to get off to a fast start. We want to take care of the football. We want to be the most physical team. You know, we want to finish strong. So those are the things that we're looking to do. And, you know, if we do those things, I think we'll be in good shape.
Mid-America coming into the game today against you, a come-from-behind last 2 minutes of the game scored to win at Missouri Valley last week.
Yeah, they're finding ways to win games, and that's kind of their calling card right now. It has been all season. You know, the first game of the season, they go on the road to Oklahoma and win in overtime, and, you know, they played Grandview pretty tough, you know, and then Baker – you know, that was the game that kind of got away from them. But, you know, we know that Baker's very capable and another great opponent. So, you know, the thing with MNU is they've got a really good quarterback. They've got a good passing attack. And then their running back's a really good player, big, big kid, physical back. You know, and then defensively, all those guys are back from a year ago. They're more athletic at linebacker. You know, so they're playing some younger guys in the secondary, but they do have experience. They're just rotating more guys, so they're playing more depth. You know, Coach Hansen's done a nice job since he's taken over the program. And, you know, they're 8-2, 3-1 in conference. So you're right, Tom. This will decide a lot of things.
The thing when I look at them, I look at their defense and I watch some film of old games. They take the ball away. I mean, they come up with a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, they do. It's shown up on tape and a lot of big situations. So that's going to be a huge thing, like I said, is, you know, winning the turnover battle for us. We got to get takeaways, and we got to take care of the ball.
And for you, an emotional day. It's a senior day, yeah?
Yeah, senior day. We got 19 great seniors we're honoring, one student coach, two filmers, so there's 22 seniors. So I'm excited for the opportunity for them. You know, great group of kids. You know, some of those guys have been with me since I got here. Some came along as we've been going in the process, and so – you know, great group of kids, and they've provided really good leadership, and I'm excited Excited to watch them play.
Yeah, it's got to be special for you, you know, for some of the guys who have come into the program since you've begun and seeing them graduate, getting those first seniors off to, you know, into the real world. That's an achievement and something that I'm sure you don't take lightly.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Some of these guys were freshmen when I got here, and they went through a lot. You know, it was COVID. We were doing running with a mask on. I mean, we were doing all sorts of stuff that you look back and you think to yourself, why the heck were we doing those things? You know, and so, but they persevered, overcame, and, you know, went through a lot in a short period of time, but, you know, I think they're all better for it, you know, and I'm excited to see what they do in the real world because I think they've got what it takes to be successful.
That's the goal, right? I mean, make good men, good fathers, good husbands, good community members, and send them out into the world.
Absolutely. You know, and that's been a calling card of this program, you know, for a long time, and that's not going to change.
Last question, how do you get the dub today?
I think it goes back to the keys to victory, but, you know, the biggest thing I've told our guys is we've got to do our jobs. So, you know, if we do our jobs, we feel like everybody's in position to make plays, and if everybody does their job, we're going to be in good shape.
Coach, we appreciate your time, man. Best of luck here this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show on your home for Benedict and Raven football, Care Radio 93.7. The Amberwell pregame continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game right after this. Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
As we get set for kickoff of Raven football this afternoon, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. For the Benedictine offense, last week you got the vertical game going. I think right now you're starting to polish your game up, getting ready for the playoffs. So again, good balance, hold on to the football. This is a Mid-America team who can get after the quarterback, can take the ball away. So again, protect the ball this afternoon. On defense, slow down these receivers. Mid-America has about four receivers that can beat you with the vertical game. For Benedict, can keep them underneath, keep the cap on it. Don't allow Mid-America those deep passes. And when they try to, get sacks. Benedict has done well over the last couple of weeks of getting to the quarterback and forcing mistakes. So, again, for the Ravens, this is a polish-up game. Go out there, win it, get ready for the playoffs next week. Those are your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. Kickoff coming up here next.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game, part of our Amberwell pregame show. We'll go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football right after these messages.
You're listening to KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, your only source for the latest local news and information. Find us online at msknews.net.
At Amberwell, they prioritize your health, your time, and your care. Life's unexpected twists can't be put on hold. That's why they have a team of compassionate primary care providers ready to serve you with same-day or next-day appointments. Whether it's a sudden illness, a minor injury, or a regular checkup, Amberwell is there for you. With convenient locations in Atchison, Hiawatha, Highland, Horton, Lansing, and Troy, they're dedicated to keeping you healthy and happy. Don't delay your well-being any longer. Call 913-358-0828 or visit their website at amberwellhealth.org to schedule your same-day or next-day primary care appointment. Amberwell is committed to your health, your time, and your care.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Locally owned and operated, Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods and great beer, wine, and spirits, you always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Papa John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our new BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco. Look, a tasty Taco Bravo for just a buck. A la Carrito. There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this new BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
And we welcome you to Larry Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, where this afternoon, Senior Day 2023, and the final regular season game of the year, Benedictine plays host to Mid-America. Hello again, everybody, with Joseph, as always, producing and engineering in the K-Radio Sports Studios. Gus Counts with me here in the booth, Tom Counts. And Gus, these two teams, I mean, they go back so many years. So many great games, even before Heart of America Athletic Conference times, and yet probably none of them much bigger than this one, as the winner of this is locked in as the conference champion in the South.
Yeah, there was a period in the mid to late 90s where it really came down to Benedictine versus Mid-America to decide who was going to go to the playoffs. Well, today we're going to find out who will be the champion of the North Division for Benedictine. It will be an outright sweep of the South if they're able to pull off a win today. And for Mid-America, if they win, well, it gets a little muddy, right? They would move to 4-1. Benedictine would fall to 4-1, and a Baker win today would have three teams all at 4-1. So, again, just win, right? I think Al Davis said it best.
Just win it, baby. Hey, 40 meetings as of today between these two teams. Benedictine with a 24-15 series lead, but the Ravens are on a bit of a run, having won the last seven meetings between these teams. And, I don't know if that means anything or that means nothing, but it always concerns me when streaks, just like the Chiefs at Denver, those streaks don't last forever.
Well, Benedictine and Culver, well, maybe not.
Well, maybe that streak will last.
So sometimes you look at streaks and just say, hey, just that much better. But right now, Benedictine is on a nice little run. And, wow, you talk about this season for Benedictine. Right now, we look up at the record and say, it wasn't that long ago that the Ravens started the season 1-2. And we said, okay, if you have a good season, you're going to put together and you're going to look back, and it will be nice to be 8-2 instead of that 1-2 start. But for Benedictine, they're going to look back and right now look at that Graceland game and say, man, we'd like to have that one back. You're also going to look back to that Morningside game and say, we had that thing all the way to the end. So, again, a handful of things this season. But at the end of the day, you flush it and you come back today and hope to get a big win, and then wait till tomorrow evening and find out where the chips fall.
No question about it. Benedictine coming into the ball game today with a very nice 8-2 record, but for Mid-America, they come into the ballgame today with an 8-2 record under fourth season head coach Paul Hansen. Senior day here at Benedictine, and it's always good to see all of the seniors and have them with their families and stuff coming around.
That's kind of.
Is it?
Kind of.
Can you hear anything at all with that thing? I can't hear anything with it. Well, anyway, it's good to see all the seniors. We're going to be talking about them as the afternoon wears on also, and giving them a little of their due.
For Mid-America, they're going to send out the kick return unit to start the game. For Benedictine, it'll be Colin Bruner set to put a toe to it.
And the Ravens in kind of a new uniform for them, with a newer uniform for them, with the red jerseys, white pants, black helmets, and black and white lettering and trim. So it's always good to see that. And we're on the mic, we're on the line. That is all should be right, but no. Nobody home there. Okay, we're set to go. Ravens are going to be kicking it away. The kick return duo back deep of Mitchell and Rogers. They're going to settle in back at their own 5-yard line. And we're about ready to get underway with this one here this afternoon. Glad to have you along with us here in Atchison, Kansas today for college football. The advance and the kick, it is a line drive and very returnable ticket at the 7-yard line. Up the hash mark, straight forward across the 30, bouncing outside of the numbers at the 35, and finally bumped out of bounds into the Ravens sideline after an outstanding return. Fabian Njika with the stop, and that was a great job by Arlandis Mitchell on the return. And Mitchell is, because on this team, he's basically just a kick return specialist.
Yeah, Arlandis Mitchell is the guy that we're going to talk about a little bit today. He leads the nation in receiving, just over 1,000 yards this season, 1,050. Hard to believe that 1,000 yards gets you a leader in the country right now.
Pioneers coming up over the football, first and 10 to begin things at the Benedictine, at their own rather, 42-yard line. QB's going to hand off. They'll bounce to the outside, trying to stretch it, and getting across the line of scrimmage is going to be Sean Cherry. He is the leading running back for this team, a 5'10 sophomore from Waxahachie, Texas. The combination of Njika and Bluebaugh. I got a feeling we're going to be seeing those two names a lot here this afternoon. Quarterback Adrian Parsons for Mid-America has started all 10 games for MNU at quarterback this season. He'll drop back to throw on his second down 8. Got a man open and overshoots him on the near side. And it's going to go out of bounds and incomplete, looking for E.J. Rogers over here.
E.J. being covered up by Jackson Hoskins. Last time these two teams played last season, when we were down at the ODAC, Jackson Hoskins able to come away with an interception that afternoon.
Back to Adrian Parsons, just so that you're aware, as a freshman, he played 5 games, including a start in a final regular season game at Benedictine, a game he threw for 659 yards and broke the NAIA single-game passing record. So the Ravens have got to be aware of his great passing skills. And now, quarterback is going to roll out, chased from behind by Heath Baker. He'll make the tackle at the 45-yard line. It'll bring up a 4th-down 7, and BC's defense came to play today.
Yeah, that was a good start for the Raven defense. And now, going back to return the punt, good to see Jay Sean back there.
Absolutely. Jay Sean and Todd for Benedictine. He suffered an ankle injury, and he's been coming back slowly, slowly. They put him in a few plays last week, and looks like he's ready to go for this one here today. Snap is back. The punt is away by Grant Pella, and a fair catch is going to be called for by Jay Sean and made. And now the ball pops out. Mid-America's going to pick it up and take it into the end zone, and that's not going to happen because Jay Sean says I was interfered with.
And we're going to get kick catch interference right here. You want to just go ahead and, I guess, plug it into that wall then?
We can. We'll see if that works.
So the official's going to take a little time. They're going to talk about it out at midfield.
We'll see if this business works, and we'll try to get that official call when they have come to a decision out here. They're all huddled up around the 25-27-yard line. It's a scoreless ball game, a minute and a half in, as Mid-America has taken the opening kickoff, and quickly, 3 and out, picking up only 3 yards on their first possession today.
Kick catch, interference on the kicking team, number 2, left penalty of force, 15 yards, spot of the foul, first down, Benedictine.
Well, there you go. That's a pretty good spot of the ball for the Ravens, and they're going to be in there. First possession of the game in an almost identical spot of the field as Mid-America did at their own 43-yard line. And for BC, it is sophomore quarterback Jackson Dooley. He will hand off right side. Witherspoon drives the right side of the line, gets 2 up to the 45-yard line. Dalton Witherspoon, man, he has been so good last week. A little bit smaller week for him, 13 carries for 63, but last year he ran for over 100 yards against the Pioneers.
That time it was leading tackler John Brown on the stop, and I see leading tackler coming into the ballgame. He was tied with Elias Carson with 51 tackles on the season.
That's going to bring up a 2nd down 8, motion to the right side. Back to throw is going to be Dooley. Looks over the middle. He's got a man wide open. Makes a catch, 40, 35, 30, and pulls down inside the 25-yard line. Tanner Zimmerman all the way to the 22. Jake Kegged, the strong safety for Mid-America, with a stop, and Benedictine goes to the air, runs that little, I don't know, a little slant?
Yeah, maybe like a skinny slant or a little more of a seam up the middle, and That time, great job of the quarterback, Jackson Dooley, getting rid of the ball quickly, allowing his receiver to get some good yardage after the catch.
BC now at the 22-yard line of Mid-America, moving the ball with their first possession. QB's back, throws it over to the left side. It'll be caught at the 22, going to the left edge is going to be Gathright. He'll pick up some short yardage as the defense had that one figured out, Gus, because it took a long time to develop. Covering it up is going to be Lance Jones and John Brown. Second down, make it 7. Court Madsen coming into the game for BC. He's going to set up as a tight end on the right side. Witherspoon on the left hand of quarterback Jackson Dooley out of the pistol. From the 19-yard line, second down 7. Ravens with the football, and Dooley with a long count. Hands off. Witherspoon goes right side. Has room 15. Witherspoon 10. Races for the pylon. Leans for the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. And there's a marker. A hold at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that time he got a nice little seam. And as he turned, we saw a defender throw his arms up, and the official let the flag fly.
Personal foul, face mask, offense, number 84, 15 yards, previous spot. Replay, second down.
Well, face mask penalties are big yardage and big trouble, and for Benedictine, boy, that's just painful to lose the score, take those points off the board, and not only the points, but a lot of yardages. It's going to go back all the way to the 34-yard line with 11:42 to go in the opening quarter where we're scoreless. The Ravens on their first possession look now at a second down and 22.
Yeah, because the killer right there is it's not just a hold, which is a 10-yard. It's a face mask. So it's a 15-yard penalty for Benedictine. Yeah, you're backed up in not exactly good territory to start this thing.
Got old Matthew Sanford wide to the right side. Motion is going to go to the left with Jay Sean. He'll take the ball on the jet sweep. Starts, slows down, has no room, going to be hit in the backfield. Probably did not get back to the line of scrimmage. It's Elias Carson out of Aquinas High School in Kansas City. The number one tackler on this team. And, Gus, does that tell you something when, for Mid-America, your strong safety is your team's leading tackler?
Yeah. It also tells me that their number three tackler is the other safety. So, yeah, right now, your safeties tend to make the plays, and defensive coordinators are going to sugarcoat that and say, well, everybody's doing their job up front. Well, it also tells me that they're making plays down the field.
On a third down and way long, back to throw is Dooley. Markers again on the field. This game has been not real cleanly played in the first 5 minutes. 4 minutes, actually. It's 11-1 to go in the first.
Snap. False start. Offense. Number 89. 5-yard penalty. Remains. Third down.
So if you're Benedictine and you're Benedictine fan, as the Ravens last week at Missouri Baptist suffered mightily with 11 penalties and 145 yards, if you are going to go to the playoffs and if you're going to be successful or make any kind of a run, you got to clean that up right off the gate.
Yeah, that's the problem is, can you make the playoffs? Sure, but again, penalties against really good teams are what's going to come back to bite you. And for Benedictine, they've got a handful already on this drive.
So it's third down and forever. 27 to go for the Ravens. Dooley's back. Fires a short pass and misses Gathright. That was not well thrown. And BC is going to be forced probably to punt it away at the 39-yard line. Marcos Flores putting a little pressure on Dooley. Jackson Gus, did look like the feet were set very well for him to be able to deliver a clean pass.
Yeah, he was kind of backpedaling when he let go of that football and sailed it incomplete. Now we're going to see into the ballgame Cullen Bruner for what will be his 36th punt of the season. He only had 3 last week against Missouri Baptist.
Two-time conference special teams player of the week, Cullen Bruner. He's been so good at pinning teams back deep. E.J. Rogers from Mid-America, heels on the 10-yard line. Cullen will take the snap, angles to the right. Sails it that way, it will land at the 12 and be down at the 4-yard line. And again, Cullen Bruner with the aid of fantastic downfield play. Is that Joel? Joel Mavis down there to cover up the ball, and Benedictine will flip the field and pin the Pioneers deep.
You know what I like about that play by Joel Mavis right there is he got down inside the 5, the ball is bounding to him. He could have taken a couple steps back and maybe down that thing, you know, at the 1. But instead, you decide, hey, I am far enough. I don't want that ball to take a funny hop on me. Let's just down it inside the 5. And for Mid-America, they'll have a 1st and 10 at the 4.
Adrian Parsons will be standing in the end zone to take the snap. Throws one deep. Going downfield. His man's going to catch it. He's going to go 96 yards. What a run down the right side. And a lofted pass from Adrian Parsons. Orlandis Mitchell got the leading receiver for this team. There was nobody around them, and Mid-America has just torched the Raven defense.
Yeah, Orlandis Mitchell, we talked about it moments ago, the leading receiver in the country coming into today's game with 1,050 yards, and now got a big play right there. Last week, he had a great game, 11 catches, 175 yards, and a touchdown, and today, man, lighten it up on his first catch of the afternoon.
Trevor Hiley's in for the PAT. He's 32 of 35 with extra points this year. It's down and up, and it is good. We've got a timeout of the field as the Pioneers have struck first on their second possession of the game. 10:22 to go in the opening quarter. Mid-America 7, Benedictine nothing.
Hi, I'm Laura Weiser from Exchange Bank. In today's world of technology, online banks are popping up everywhere, promising better, more convenient banking. But there's still no better way to bank than with people you know and trust. Exchange Bank provides internet and mobile banking, but we're also here offering personal, face-to-face service you just don't get with online banks. Come see us. We're here for you.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
And Benedictine has not found itself trailing an opponent very often, but they're going to start the game down 7-0. 10:22 to go in the opening quarter. A lot of football to go. And now the Raven return men back at the 10 suddenly race up to the 25, and they expect a short kick, and that's what they're going to get. It is end over end, high and short, taken at the 26. BC will go to the left side to the 30, and Witherspoon will be down at the 37-yard line.
Interesting kickoff for Mid-America. They kick it really high, semi-short, and kick it right about the numbers. And so they're hoping that their guys get down and make a good hit on that play, and there's a short return. But an interesting lineup. And now for Benedictine, they're going to start this possession at their own 37-yard line.
Here we go, first and 10. Raven offense on the field for the second time this afternoon. The first time they thought they had a touchdown, but one of what have been many early penalties has taken that away. And they trail now 7-0. Back to throw Dooley. Nobody in the backfield with him. He'll get the pass away. Caught at the 45. Putting his head down. Spinning forward. Taking it across midfield.
Joseph.
Joseph Langopuliana with the catch for Benedictine. So Joseph will get a early catch on the afternoon. And the Ravens are going to take the ball just across midfield down to the 49.
Right now the Ravens are looking to find a third receiver, right? You've got your top two in Jay Sean and Jacob Gathright, but this, right now still, here we are, game 10, still trying to develop what's going to be their third target. Game 11, we're still trying to figure out that third target.
Dooley's back to throw, fires one right side. It's going to be caught. A short 4-yard gain and an immediate tackle by, again, Carson over there as he hits Witherspoon. Dooley does, coming out of the backfield, picking up 4. Matter of fact, they're going to make it 3. They're going to call him short of the 45-yard line. We'll call it at the 46. 9:20 to go in the opening quarter. Ravens down 7-0 with the football. Second down 7. Jackson Dooley last week, 17 of 29, passing for 369 and a touchdown, 4 touchdowns. Pass over to the right side is going to be caught. The cut back into the middle will pick up a first down, and that was a nice catch and turn up field by Adam Jackson Jr. The 6-foot freshman. Adam would like to be that 3 receiver.
Yeah, and right there doing a nice job. Adam coming into today's game, 4 catches for 18 yards. You start to look at the secondary options of that third receiver. As Jackson Dooley is checking out, Jay Sean's going to go in that Wildcat formation.
BC first and 10 with the snap going to come straight back to Todd. Motion right, steps over his head. Jayshon running back, dives on the ball, loses it. It's flying around to the 35. Mid-America's going to scoop, and only the speed of Jayshon Todd saves the score. What a error by Benedictine. A cataclysmic bad snap over the head of Jayshon as the Ravens get a little cute with the offense. And Mid-America knocking on the door for their second TD in the first minutes.
Yeah, Jackson Dooley's 6'1", Jayshon Todd's 5'10", so it's not an issue of where that snap was going. That thing was just over Jayshon's head, and instead of covering it up, he hit the ball and kind of kicked it forward, and Mid-America with excellent field position right here.
Here comes the Pioneer offense, and the Ravens guys right now on their heels in this first quarter. QB's going to take it and back to throw again as Parsons. His last pass with a touchdown pass. This pass is nearly a touchdown pass. The Ravens close on it quickly and bat it away deep in the left side of the end zone. And Kyle Rowland saves the score right there. Gus Adrian Parsons, we talked about it. First time he played against Benedictine, set an NAIA single-game passing record. He's trying to eclipse that today.
I figured out what they see.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Second down and 10. Again, they're going to shift the tight end now to the left side. Receivers all on the right, the wide side. But they'll hand off and go short side. Running back to the 20. Running back is going to be very close to the first down marker as Cameron Finley carries the ball. So what's carrying on in the defensive backfield?
No Javon. Right? Because Javai Blomquist is out for the first half right now after the targeting penalty over at Missouri Baptist last year where he gets ejected for it. He's going to have to miss the first half. And right now the Ravens are shuffling in just a bunch of different looks at that safety position where we typically see Javai holding it down.
First and goal, Mid-America at the Benedictine 9. Quarterback is back to throw, looks into the end zone and missed his man. He had Paul St. Louis open. And now there's a marker down at the 5, James Johnson, the Raven strong safety.
Yeah, see, James Johnson's not a guy that typically would be in at this point in the ball game. The redshirt freshman at San Diego has 2 tackles through 11 games.
Now we'll wait and see what this marker is going to be about. They're moving it now down to the 3. So the placement of the marker seems to be important to the official. It's going to go against Benedictine.
Pass interference, defense, number 2. That's only 4, spot of the foul, automatic first down.
So there you have it, Paul St. Louis, who provided the coverage, guilty of pass interference. First and goal, Mid-America. Now down at the Benedictine 2-yard line.
Ravens going to bring Carson Anderson back into the ballgame at another linebacker.
QB's back to throw. BB over to the near side, and it should have been a touchdown, but juggling the ball, Cameron Finley did not haul it in. It's incomplete.
Yeah, and Cameron Finley is a guy who they throw the ball to a little bit out of the backfield. 12 catches this season, 120 yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. So he is a guy who can catch it, but that time just took his eye off the football. That was going to be a walk-in touchdown right there. Instead, it'll bring up second and goal for the Pioneers. As they've got 12 guys on the field, and now they're going to have to burn a timeout.
Yeah, we'll hang on to it here. Joseph is an error by Mid-America. They did not want to suffer those penalty yards. And for the Ravens in the defensive secondary, they rotate players in.
Mid-America, Nazarene, this is their first charge. Time out of the half.
Dominic Stone King has now come into the game for BC in the secondary. And right now, Coach Cook is looking for a combination. Somebody who's going to stop this Mid-America offense has been just moving down the field.
Well, you've got so many good athletes in that secondary, but the problem is, it's tough to, fill in for a guy like Javai Blomquist, who is just a leader on your defense. He's a guy who started since he's a freshman. And so you've been able to just kind of bank on, okay, Javai understands what he's doing. We're good. Now you have to say, okay, I have this player in there. He's not seen this, this, or this. So we have to warn him about X, Y, and Z. So, again, it's just going to take a little more effort with these younger guys right now versus having Javai. The plus side, we're going to get Javai after halftime.
And you know that Mid-America likes to throw the ball. They've been doing it so far here today. They scored the long touchdown on it. And we talked about Arlandis Mitchell, their leading receiver. He comes into week 11 as the NAIA leader in receiving yards. Over 1,000 yards already this year. Fourth in the NAIA in yards per game at 105 a game. 6 touchdowns. 3 of them coming in today were 90-plus yard catches, 2 at 92 and 1 at 90. Now he's got a 96. It is second and goal. Pioneers at the Raven 2-yard line. Motion will go to the left side. They'll hand off to the jet sweep, and he's going to walk into the end zone. Absolutely untouched, Arlandis Mitchell goes in, and Mid-America doubles its lead.
That time, a great crackdown block by a wide receiver out there for Mid-America. He came in, sheared off the outside linebacker, and then it was just a walk to the pylon, and for the Pioneers, going to quickly take a 13-point lead here in this first quarter.
So as Raven fans, there's a big crowd here on Senior Day, but because they're very, very quiet, does Benedictine have a reason to worry here early on?
A lot of football left to be played. I don't think so. I mean, if you told me this was at the 7:46 mark of the third quarter, I'd start sweating a little more.
PAT is airborne, and count it. Jones and Moore taking a break. We're down now to 7:46 to go in the opening quarter here in Atchison, Kansas. Mid-America has exploded to a 14-0 lead.
Atchison Auto Parts, it's your locally owned and operated independent NAPA dealer with a team of experienced employees that have a lifelong passion for the auto industry. They provide top quality parts and exceptional service. They are all car guys who care about getting you the right parts, whether it's for your passenger vehicle or your heavy duty parts for the big trucks. Open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 3 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium on the beautiful Benedictine College campus in Atchison, Kansas. As the timeout after the touchdown occurs, we are having an on-field recognition. Gus, kind of a great season. The 2023 Hart Men's and Women's Cross-Country Champions from Benedictine. It's not easy to do once, even harder to have both teams win it in the same year. So congratulations to the cross-country clubs.
I'm not sure about running for fun. Sounds like a lot of work.
You think is it fun? Can it be fun?
I don't know. That's what cross-country people used to always tell me. It's, we run for fun. I'm like, oh, good deal.
Now, Mid-America is going to be set to kick it away, and while we cannot in college football have an unbalanced line, what you can do is scrunch five of them up really shoulder to shoulder, and the other five can go two-thirds of the width of the field to the other side, and a kicker's putting the ball on the near hash mark. Not in the center of the field. So they're overloading the right side of the kickoff. BC's return man, not short this time. They went back deep, and there's the advance in the kick. High end, in particular to short. It'll be taken by Witherspoon, who drops it, takes it on a knee. No, they're going to say he gets to pick it up, that he was on a knee.
I thought he was on a knee, but maybe the official had a better angle. And
so, again, the kick coverage or the kick returns, not good. I mean, you have plenty of time to get underneath that ball, settle, and make the catch without lunging for it and being on a knee when you made the catch. Ravens are going to have the football first and 10, and let's see where they're ultimately going to put it down.
You good?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. So we're going to get a false start as a guy get down the field just a little early, so it's going to be a 10-yard penalty and a re-kick. So for the Ravens, maybe dodging a little bit of a bullet there. So instead of starting, where were they going to be, at the 30?
Yeah, maybe 27 or 8. Yes, exactly.
So
we'll see if they benefit from this penalty. And again, the Mid-America kicker, you know, he is really good. Trevor Hiley out of Willard, Missouri. 2 for 2 on field or on point afters here today.
Yeah, this season, what, 32 of 35 for PATs.
Earlier we had seen him, and the Ravens ultimately knew he was going to kick it short because the return man, as you remember, came up short. Now they're going to come up short again because, again, he's not the key. The kicker is only going to take a one-step advance on the ball, so the Ravens know this is going to be one of those high short kicks. Return man is going to go back, and it'll be Witherspoon fielding it at the 17. To the 30, goes outside, ankle tackled, and that was a good job of coming down on kick coverage, but very unlike Dalton to go down with that little bit of almost incidental contact.
So for the Ravens, they're going to gain about 3 yards. They're going to get this thing now out to, oh, no, excuse me, they're going to gain about 8 yards. They're going to get this thing out to about the 35-yard line where they'll start this possession.
Wide to the left side for Benedictine, Tanner Zimmerman. Had a great catch in that initial drive that was ultimately stymied by penalties. First and 10 from the 35. Dooley takes a snap, stays in the middle. Pass should have been intercepted. Should have been intercepted twice. Dooley throws it right into the hands of Jacob Techt. He has one interception already in the air. And then, Gus, as the ball was fluttering around, a second defender, Ethan Pritchard, almost came up with it again. The Ravens not coming out of the gates very quickly today.
Yeah, they haven't looked sharp, especially on the offensive end, to start this game and find yourself already in a 14-4 hole.
Second down, 10. Ravens at the 35. Langofoyana goes wide to the right side. Now we'll set up in the slot. The handoff is going to go to Witherspoon. He's going nowhere and doing it in a hurry. Zero gain as he's piled up at the line of scrimmage. The emotion, guys, which is always such an integral part of this game, the emotion is 100% on the Mid-America sideline right now. BC kind of standing around and probably needs a little inspiration.
Yeah, right now it looks like the Ravens are just kind of going through the motion, but you look out there, Mid-America looks visibly amped on the field right now.
No question about it. Gathright is wide left. Motion will come to the right side. That's going to be Joseph. He's getting incredible amounts of PT here today. He's got a point to prove. He wants to be part of this receiving core. Now the pass batted to the ground. And again, Jackson Dooley putting no loft on the ball at all. John Brown got his hand on it, knocked it away. And again, Benedictine's offense ineffective.
Here's the deal. You're going to punt this thing less than a minute after Mid-America's touchdown, right? Mid-America scores at the 7:46 mark. You're going to kick the ball away at the 6:54 mark. I mean, this feels like the first couple games of the year where you struggled, right? This feels like Graceland. This feels like Morningside. This doesn't feel like the team we've seen the last 7 weeks.
Back for the return, Cameron Finley. The kick is away. It's not going to be terribly deep. Bounces at the 25. Takes a huge Raven bounce. And once again, okay, Cullen Bruner will have it out of bounds inside the 20-yard line at the 13. Bruner continues to be one of the glowing bright spots for this Raven football club.
What do you get? 19 yards of bounce right there.
Not bad. Has a great spin on the ball. Kicked it away from the return man, Finley. And at Mid-America, back out on the field. I got it. And it's going to be first and 10 for the Pioneers and quarterback Adrian Parsons. You got to understand, too, coming into the game here today, Mid-America is 8-2. Okay? It's not like they are some kind of weak sister. They are a very, very good team. They're going to swing Jacob Mauser, the tight end, over to the left side. Shifting on the defensive front. Quarterback is back to throw. Man wide open. Caught. 30. And spins his way up to the 34-yard line where he's finally grabbed up by Kyle Rowland. But Gus, again, absolutely uncontested, undefended receivers open in the defense.
Yeah, I mean, they're just finding open gaps. And right now, Adrian Parsons is getting plenty of time to sit back and find that receiver. The Ravens are going to have to maybe dial up a little more pressure on the quarterback.
First down call, Mid-America thrown 35. QB's back, throws one left side, open receiver in the backfield, pulls away from the first would-be tackler and drags him to the 43-yard line. Blue Kamplinger was over there, kind of grabbed him with a shirt tail, did not make a textbook kind of a tackle, and a gain turns into about 8. Second down, Pioneers, they are moving the ball briskly in its opening quarter, leading it 14-0, 6 minutes to play in the first. QB's going to move. Look at that. Is that a big fullback, or is that just a tight end back there? It's
tight
all
end.
The same. Handoff running back. He will worm his way forward, picks up the first down across the 45-yard line. Move the chains, first and 10 Pioneers.
That time the Ravens just weren't able to slow up the running back before he could pick up the first down. Finally getting in there to make the stop. It's going to be Tim Glazer. Good to see Tim out there. I knew he's kind of a game-time decision dealing with a little bit of an injury. He'll check out along with Isaac Anderson for this next play. You'll have Joe Burke and Kevin Harris as your down tackles.
No question. They just check into the game. First and 10 at their own 46-yard line. Mid-America moving the football, leading by 2 touchdowns. QB's back to throw again, going deep down the left sideline. It just overshoots his intended receiver, who had a step on double coverage. It'll go incomplete. I'm a little more accurately throwing ball by Adrian Parsons, and Gus, we might be checking out more bulbs on that scoreboard.
Well, yeah, Adrian Parsons right now, he's doing a lot of guessing, right? He's just dropping back and saying, I think this is about where he's going to be, and just lofts it up there, hopes his guy can run in under it, but what he knows is that no defender is going to be able to get it. He throws it far enough down the field that it's not going to be intercepted.
Motion to the near side on a second down 10 at their own 46-yard line. Back to throw again, Parsons. Chased out of the pocket, he'll run 50 and goes feet first at the Raven 46-yard line. And is that a late hit?
Yep, they're going to throw it late.
Yeah. I thought it was very close, and then it didn't come out, and I thought, well, maybe it wasn't. I suspect there was some lobbying involved in getting this call.
Plenty of lobbying, but I'm not really sure. The official's going to talk about this and see if maybe everybody's on the same page. I thought it was a late slide by the quarterback, and
we'll see what they decide to do with this as the referee continues to confer with his fellow officiating crew.
Dead ball foul. Personal foul. Late hit. Number 22 defense. 15 yards in the run. Automatic first down.
So even though our streaming stats are not working today, I'm going to tell you that Benedictine is probably over 50 yards of penalty yardage because we've had two 15s and sundry other penalties. And still, over 5 minutes ago in the opening quarter, Pioneers take advantage, move down to the Raven 30-yard line. It is first and 10. Motion right. Parsons takes the snap, hands off running back. Penalty markers all over. This is going to be a motion penalty against Mid-America. See, every time I try to get away from the horrible Wi-Fi.
False start. Offense, number 6. 5-yard penalty. Remains. First down.
So they're going to stretch this thing back to the 37-yard line. See, yeah. Try this. QB's back to throw. Third down, 15. Going deep into the end zone, and it's caught. Is it a touchdown? It is the third touchdown of the opening quarter by Mid-America. He took it away from two defenders in Orlandis Mitchell. His third score of the game with 4:39 to go in the opening quarter. Mid-America is blowing the doors off here early.
Yeah, so Orlandis Mitchell right there. In double coverage, he reached out and just took the ball away from the defender, and he'll get a 32-yard touchdown. And how about this? He's got a 32-yard reception, a 96-yard reception, and a 3-yard run on the first quarter. So right now, Benedictine defense is really struggling with Orlandis Mitchell.
And so much time for Adrian Parsons, a Raven defensive front, making him look like Johnny Unitas back there. Here's a PAT that's up and good. And we're going to take another timeout as the Ravens try to figure things out. 4:39 to go in the opening quarter. It is now Mid-America 21. Benedictine nothing.
No matter if it's winter, spring, summer, or fall, your investment and retirement goals need to be reviewed at least once a year. Hamada Wealth Management has been helping investors plan for over 25 years. If you need to make your IRA contribution or just want to talk, give Ken a call at 913-379-8690. That's 913-379-8690. Or search online at Hamada Wealth, Atchison, Kansas. Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services.
The Benedictine 10-yard line is the Ravens, because they are reeling out there right now and are going to have a good, not necessarily great, but they're going to have a good offensive possession here, trying to shake some of those cobwebs away. Grant Pella putting the ball on the tee, and we'll see what the Raven kick return unit and offense can do. Here's the boot. It is in over end, high, and again, very short. And again, it's going to be taken by Witherspoon. He reaches down and takes it at the ankles, nearly touches his knee again. Goes left side, across the 30, and launched out of bounds along the near side as there's brutal downfield blocking by Mid-America. And Gus, they are the aggressive team. They are right now the dominant team out here.
When Benedictine struggled in their first three games of the season, right, went 1-2, their biggest problem, short possessions, throwing a lot of incomplete passes, right? We saw them get better over the next 7 weeks. What did they do? They ran the ball very effectively. Today, Benedictine's running the ball at a negative 22-yard clip in the first quarter.
Here's going to be a handoff to Wara, and he will pick up about a half dozen, maybe seven. He cuts to the outside, plants his foot, turns it back upfield, takes it to the 48-yard line. Nice run for the Ravens' Sean Wara.
Benedictine, 4 penalties here in the first quarter for 41 yards. Mid-America's not doing much better in that category. They've got 3 penalties for 25 yards.
Second down and a couple. Ravens at their own 48-yard line, but trail now by 3 touchdowns. Penalty markers everywhere. No one was ready for that snap. And let's see where this penalty falls.
False start. Offense. Everyone with the center. 5-yard penalty. Remains.
Oh, as a referee, you know you're dying to say that. Make that call, right?
Everyone but the center.
Everyone but the center.
So, instead of looking at a 2nd and 2, you're backed up now looking at a 2nd and 7, and you can't think that it probably changes the play call much?
Yeah, probably going to be the same thing, so they can come right back up over the football and try whatever it was. Again, 3:50 to go in the opening quarter. Ravens can't get out of this quarter quickly enough. It has been not good for them. Jackson Dooley will take the snap. Play actions to Wara. He goes out of the backfield. Quarterback's going to throw it to Wara. Two linebackers come up as they see him get the ball. They plant their shoulders in his midsection and drop him for a yard gain.
Yeah, and so for Sean Wara, he caught that thing 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, had to fight forward and get just past the line of scrimmage for a short gain. That'll bring up now a 3rd and 5 for the Raven offense. Wara will check out. You're going to get Dalton Witherspoon back in.
Wide to the right side for BC, Jacob Gathright. Has he touched the ball yet today? 3rd down 5 at the 45.
1 for 3 yards.
Zimmerman swings over to the slot on the right side. Back to throw Dooley. The blitz is on, and he's throwing. Gets it away. Witherspoon will make the catch and pick up a 1st down. Is Dooley running for his life? Zach Martinez covering for Mid-America. See, that's something that we've been talking about already. The Ravens are not doing, putting any pressure on the Mid-America quarterback and causing him any duress.
Yeah, Adrian Parsons has had a pretty clean pocket to this point. And for Jackson Dooley, he really hasn't. I mean, he's been under a lot of duress letting go of the football here this afternoon.
BC at the Mid-America 46. They'll flare it over to the near flat, taken by Jay Shun. Tries to run over a couple of his blockers because he had nowhere to go. Jacob Tech from the strong safety spot will tackle him after the 4-yard pickup.
Do you realize the positions we're calling right now for Mid-America on defense? We haven't talked about any of these defensive linemen. We're talking about the outside linebackers and the safeties right now making all the tackles for this team.
And right now, what do we call this? Is this cover 2, basically, for the Pioneers?
Yeah, I mean, they got 2 high safeties.
Here's a handoff again to the running back. Dooley goes downfield and puts a nice little block on it. Because of that, Witherspoon is able to pick up a 1st down. He throws a forearm to push off the defender, who mocks him as he walks back to the defensive huddle.
Yeah,
Elias, it'll be a Benedictine 1st down.
Elias Carson is a little upset right now, and I think it's more of a hurt his pride as Jackson Dooley able to block the leading tackler for Mid-America on that play and allow his running back to pick up a 1st down.
I like the block. I hate that my starting quarterback has to block downfield. That's not the plan generally. Here's a pass over the middle again. TZ takes it 15, 10, 5-yard line. 1st and goal. Benedictine on his 2nd catch of the day as quarterback Anthony Sayo makes a stop. Gus Zimmerman, that's exactly the same play, but this time to the left side instead of the right.
Defensive injury.
Yeah, the first play, he caught the ball. He went 33 yards, and that one, a nice one over the middle, able to take it all the way down to the 5-yard line. And you talk about a guy in Tanner Zimmerman, Mid-America was right in his backyard, right? He's an Olathe West kid, and so, again, a nice play right there. And now, for Benedictine, because we're going to pause for a moment as they're helping a player up, but for Benedictine, this is big. You've got the ball on the 5. It's 1st and goal. You've got to punch this one in, trailing by 3 touchdowns already here in the first quarter.
I don't think there's any question about it. And the same guy who got blown up at a quarterback on the last play, Elias Carson, is still on his knees out there on the field as the crew of 5 trainers and the head coach huddle around him. But he gets to his feet, I think, the only damage to his pride. Ravens coming out over the football. Mid-America still over on the far sideline. And their defense is now going to dash back out of the field for BC. 1st and goal at the 5. And in the backfield with Dooley, Sean Wara.
You're going to have Jay Sean out there. Jacob Gathright and LeBron Jackson will be in the slot out there.
Officials really holding up play. They're allowing plenty of time for Carson to meander off the field. And here comes the Raven offense. 1st and goal, 5 yards away. Motion left. The snap. Handoff misdirection. Wara at the 5, and at the 4, he's wrapped up and thrown to the ground. See, here's the thing. Wara is not a big man at 5'8", okay? And strong safety Jacob Tech does something that you can't do with the bigger, stronger running backs. He grabbed him at the shoulders and threw him down.
Yep.
If you have a big, strong running back, you grab him at the shoulders, you know what happens, right? You both score.
Yeah, he's going to drag you into the end zone, but that time he was able to grab Wara around the shoulder pads and just pick him up and kind of throw him down for no gain on the play. It'll be 2nd and goal.
BC from the 4. Running back drops back to the right side of the quarterback. That again is going to be Wara. Dooley takes a long look over, changes the play, takes a snap, hands off Sean. He'll try the right side again and maybe loses another yard. Benedictine trying to hand it to John Wara finds Matthew Georgie, the Free State High School product out of Lawrence, Kansas, there to make the tackle. 21 tackles, a sack, and an interception so far this year for Mid-America's middle linebacker, Matthew Georgian. This is a crucial play for the Ravens, because you said this when they've got the first and goal set. They have to score a touchdown. Now they're third, still in goal, still at the 5.
Well, they can take this to the quarter if they really want to.
Motion to the top. Quarterback's back to throw. Final play of the opening quarter. He sets up, looks over the middle, and is off the hands of his intended receiver and incomplete as Joseph Longo-Fuyana had it, just doesn't hold on to it, and the first quarter has come to an end. We'll be back and see what the Ravens elect to do on fourth down. Timeout on the field after one in Atchison, Kansas. Mid-America 21, Benedictine, nothing.
Whether it's a breakfast sandwich to start your morning off right, a sub with chips, drink, and a cookie to help you power through the afternoon, or footlongs for family dinner, Subway has it all. Check out their Fresh Fit menu, which includes 8 delicious 6-inch subs to keep you on track. With fresh veggies, quality food, and smarter nutrition, Subway makes eating better easier. Eat fresh at Subway under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
And look at
them. What? You can't hear us? You got me? Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium here on the Benedictine College campus, where as the Ravens find themselves treading a 21-0, going to the second quarter. Gus, it's a tough decision for a Raven head coach, Joel Osborne. You're down 3 scores. Your offense has been not great. You're at the 5-yard line. You were at the 5-yard line for first down, second down, third down. Haven't moved the ball an inch. Do you try to take 3 here, or do you go for a touchdown down 3 scores?
You need a touchdown. So now, for the first time this afternoon, we're going to see Matthew Sanford in there. He'll be to the left. To the right, you're going to have Tanner Zimmerman. Tucked as a tight end to the right, you're going to have Court Madsen. And then off to the right hand of the quarterback is going to be Dalton Witherspoon. A very interesting formation. You've got some tall guys out there, but not a lot of your speedy guys here for this fourth and goal.
Yeah, you're only 4 yards, 5 yards away. Here's Zim. I'm looking at him. He's got to be my go-to guy with this. We'll see what happens. QB's back. Look, Zimmerman. Throw Zimmerman. Catch Zimmerman. Touchdown, Ravens! There you go. You go to the big guy. You go to the guy with the good hands. The guy who's already made 2 great catches over the middle so far this afternoon. And on the first play of the second quarter, Benedictine finally on the board.
Yeah, Tanner Zimmerman. What, 3 catches for 64 yards and a touchdown already here in this ballgame. So a big play right there for the Raven offense, exactly what they needed right there.
It'll be Harry Balke for the PAT. Zach Filippi is your long snapper. It is down and up and spins his way through the uprights. And Joseph, as quickly as that, we're going to return to you for the timeout. Taking a break. Ravens are on the board with 14:56 to go in the first half. Mid-America 21, Benedictine 7.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
Kelvin Bruner out there, set to put the ball underway to Arlandis Mitchell and E.J. Rogers. The return 204 Mid-America, 1st and 10. It'll be for the Pioneers. They are looking to keep holding Benedictine at arm's length. For Mid-America, if they can maintain a 2-TD lead all afternoon, they're going to be okay with that. Ravens have got the uphill battle now. Bruner advances. There's your kick. It is high, end, and very short. Going to be fielded at the 20-yard line by Mitchell. He's been the big runner today, up across the 35 and short of the 40-yard line. So, again, excellent field position for Mid-America. They're going to have this first and 10 with 14:50 to go in the opening half, leading by two touchdowns. And they're going to have the ball at their own. Where are you finally going to put this down? No, they're going to mark it back down at the 39-yard line. Quarterback Adrian Parsons, he's had an outstanding start to the game today. Coming in here this afternoon, has thrown for over 2,800 yards. First and 10, Pioneers at their own 39. Running backs going to go straight ahead. No, quarterback's back to throw. Chased out of the pocket. Breaks the first tackle. And as the second defender's coming in, Adrian Parsons says, my option is to take this hit or keep playing. And he says, you know what, I'll just go to the ground right here. Thank you.
That time Carson Anderson able to trip the quarterback up just a little bit. And, yeah, you described it perfectly. He just dove down when he realized that second defender was coming up to clean things up. And that'll bring up a second and 12 for the Pioneers.
Back to their own now 33-yard line. They'll overload the left side. Quarterback looks left. Back to throw, looking left all time. And a diving catch short of the first down. And does he make the catch? The officials run up and say, yeah. E.J. Rogers is somehow able to haul it in at the laces. And it's going to be third down 2 for Mid-America.
E.J. Rogers is a guy who last week caught 7 passes for 70 yards. And now they're looking at this third and short. And Mid-America kind of struggling with their formation. They've got guys running in, out, and finally going to settle on the 11 they like in an interesting formation.
By the way, guys, Joe Mavis in the game for BC right now on the near side. Quarterback's back, looking. Now he's going to run with the ball. He's going to pick up a first down, and it quickly jump out of bounds. And he had to kind of do a little dance move around Isaac Anderson on the near side. Isaac was not able to reach out and get a handle on him.
I like that play right there by the quarterback, Adrian Parsons. Understood he needed to get to the 50. Steps across the 50 and then dips out of bounds. That's good field awareness, situational awareness on that play. It'll be a first and 10 in Raven territory at the 49.
Again, Burke and Harris come in with Baker and Johnson at the defensive front. Four pass over to the left side, caught 50-yard line. But two defenders see to it that Damon Randolph does not advance. The first man there, Blue Kaplinger. The second, Carson Anderson. Gus Carson had a huge game, I thought, last week, and we have seen him, while he's not made a ton of tackles, he has been involved and integral in a lot of defensive plays.
Yes, it's good to see Carson Anderson starting to get healthy, get back out there. And for the Ravens, that's been a big deal this year, right? They've dealt with a lot of injuries, a lot of guys missing games this season, and just kind of starting to get healthy here at the end of the season.
Mid-America second down 8 at the Benedictine 47-yard line. Handoff running back. He'll try the right side. There's no living to be made there by Sean Cherry. His Jackson Hoskins closes the gap, makes the stop, and it will bring up a third down 5 for the Pioneers. Sean Cherry, Waxahachie, Texas. Third down, I've got to give him a generous spot. Third down 4, the ball at the Raven 43-yard line. They've got to get it down to the Benedictine 39. QB's back, play actions, going deep downfield, just timing pattern, and it's off the fingertips of his receiver at the 10-yard line. And that is what Mid-America has done all game, is Arlandis Mitchell, covered downfield by Jackson Hoskins. Mitchell stretched out it, but that time, about 2 inches too far, couldn't quite get a grip on it. I think he touched it, could not haul it in. Earlier in the game, they were making that connection and picking up those huge chunks of yards. Now they're going to be forced to pump the ball to Jayshon Todd at the 10. So Mid-America's drive is going to stall at the Benedictine 43. Grant Pella fakes the snap, fakes the punt, back to throw. They'll lob it, and they're going to pick up a first down.
Ooh. Okay.
He picked it up. Boy, his forward progress was enough. The tackle drove him back behind the first down sticks, but you could see when the punter leaped in the air and there was no ball coming back, they had faked that punt.
Yeah. And that time Mid-America faked the punt, and they ran a guy back around like he was going to run it, and then he stops, pulls up, throws it to the gunner over there, and the gunner caught it right at the sticks. And they're going to say just enough for a first down. So it's going to be inside the 40. They're going to mark it down to the 38-yard line. So, again, Mid-America pulling no punches today. This is the right thing to do in what is probably their last game of the season.
No question about it. Hats off to the Pioneers for pulling out the stops. Quarterback is back. Lobs one downfield. He's got a man at the 5, and he'll make the catch and drop it as he comes to the ground at the 2-yard line.
That time they were looking for Arlandis Mitchell again, and he had that ball as he was going to the ground, and once he contacted the ground, pops away from him, incomplete. It'll bring up now a 2nd and 10 for the Pioneers.
Zias Mitchell getting beyond double coverage. He had two defenders, and they were both short.
He's just so fast.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Just outruns them.
Adrian Parsons today now 6 of 12 passing for 175 yards and 3 passing touchdowns.
2nd and 10 to the Benedictine 38. Pass over to the near side. It's going to be caught at the line of scrimmage and outrunning the defenders to the 30 down to the 29, maybe the 28-yard line, very close to the first down. The race on the near side is going to be won and a first down achieved by Miles Himes as he gets to the edge in front of Carson Anderson. They'll move the chains again, and Mid-America continues to just chunk its way down the field.
Yeah, and when the Raven defense thought they had to stop, Mid-America pulls out a fake punt. I mean, that's been how the first half has gone so far for this Raven team.
Sean Cherry, the running back, a big cat, 5'10", 210, takes the handoff this time, looks for a block. It doesn't come. He's going to be stuffed at the line of scrimmage by Isaac Anderson.
You know what Mid-America has done a good job of today? It's staying away from third and longs, right? They have found themselves in third and manageable today, and by staying away from third and longs, you don't allow the Ravens to get that pass rush set up and be able to get after the quarterback.
But it's not like they're picking up yardage on the ground. I bet they haven't run the ball a dozen times today. 2nd down and 11, Mid-America at the 29. QB's back to throw again, goes over the middle, the catch made. Look at the lead block out there by the lineman getting downfield, and the advance is going to go inside the 25 to the 24-yard line. They'll pick up about 6.
24 plays today, 13 of them over pass, and now you have an offensive lineman that's a little slow to get up right there. It looks like your left guard.
We're going to take a timeout, Joseph, as they attend to the big guy. 10:28 to go in the opening half here in Atchison, Kansas. Mid-America, 21, Benedictine 7.
There's only so much that can be said here, literally, about Skyway Vapes at 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison. But the keys are this. The friendly, knowledgeable staff will lead you through the many lines of juices, the large variety of mods and kits, and some of the most affordable, reliable, and many-flavored disposables in the area. They have alternative vaping products, too. Wink, wink. Did I mention 90 varieties of wildberry incense and locally made beard oil? Skyway Vapes, downtown Atchison, 711 Commercial Street.
Back with you here in Atchison. Big guy coming off the field very, very, very slowly, Parker Lengold. He's a 6'3", 285-pound left guard. Gus, he is the smallest man on that Mid-America front line. And look at the size of him. Left tackle, Zach Malister, 6'3", 315. Center, 6'305". Right guard, 6'1", 335. And right tackle, out of Oskaloosa, Kansas, 6'2", 310-pound former Bear, Justin Miller, whose family's sitting down here in front of us today. So they get Lingle off the field, 3rd and 5.
So Mid-America is going to do a whole bunch of shifting on the offensive line. So they're going to take Justin Miller, the right tackle, move him down inside to the right guard. They're going to move Enrique Newman out to the right tackle and then bring in Devin Holt as their left guard.
3rd down 5. QB's back, steps up. He's hit from behind, and the sack by Jared Heron. Goes. It didn't take much of a Parsons on the ground. Herod reached out with his left hand, grabbed him by the back of the jersey, just threw him down.
Well, and we talked about it, that Mid-America had done a great job to this point of staying away from third and longs where the Ravens could bring in that pass rush formation and be able to get after the quarterback. That time they found themselves in a 3rd and 8 in an apparent passing situation. Jared Heron didn't have to worry about any assignments on that play. He was able to just get after the quarterback. Now they're going to attempt a very long field goal.
Yeah, and Trevor Hiley's not a long field goal kind of a guy. He's only 6 of 13. He has not hit half of his field goals. They're taking a timeout. We're going to keep it here.
Because he got 10.
Hiley, okay, is 6 of 13, so he's under half. His long is 38. This is going to be 49. And although there is a little breeze here today at game time, about, what, 12, 13 miles an hour out of the south-southeast, so it's pretty much at his back, 54 degrees and overcast. That doesn't help the ball fly, but the breeze will be helping him because this is not in his range.
Yeah, it's not going to be really in his range, but I still think that they're going to do it. They had 10 guys out there. That's why they called the timeout, because I'm going to guess Parker Lengel should have been on that kick unit, and so they raced a lineman on late, called the timeout to talk about it. Again, right now, if you're Mid-America, maybe you just punt this thing away and force Benedictine into a long field. Your defense has played pretty okay today.
Yeah, Mid-America is dominating on these numbers right now. 221 total yards. Benedictine with 106 yards today. Passing yards, 195 for Mid-America. Ravens with 109. And right now, they are going to go for this field goal. It seemed to be. It'll be Silas Templeman. He's going to be your holder. It'll be down at the 39, a 49-yard effort from Hiley, the right-foot soccer-style kicker. He'll advance on it, gets it away, and did he get it? He did! How about that for Trevor Hiley? A new personal best, and Mid-America extends its lead. We're going to hang on to it here for you, Joseph. It'll not take them long to get their return units back out there, and Gus, that was good from 39, and he probably had, what, 3 yards to spare, maybe even? A couple three?
Yeah, I mean, right there, looked like he was able to bang that through. And for Trevor Hiley, he's now 7 of 14 on the season with a new season long right there. So a big field goal for Mid-America pushes it now to a 24-7 advantage.
Yep, and that makes it a 3-score lead for Mid-America. With still worlds of time to play, 9:45 to go in the opening half. Benedictine able to score just one time so far this afternoon, and they've had to punt already a couple of times. Mid-America with only one punt so far today. Ravens right now are being led in rushing by Witherspoon, 13 yards. Wara with 8, and Jay Sean with negative 24 rushing yards. And, you know, if you add those numbers up, you're minus rushing right now.
That's not exactly where you want to be going into halftime, but I think that's why we hit on it early on in this ballgame was, it feels like the Ravens have just completely shifted the game plan back to weeks 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, we knew Mid-America was going to throw the ball, and they have. They've thrown for 195 and rushed for 26. But Benedictine throwing for 106 and rushing for negative yardage, not what we've grown accustomed to at all. Here's a boot away taken by Witherspoon at the 7. Dalton gets to the 20. 30, right side 40. Witherspoon finally shoved out of bounds near the 45-yard line. A nice return for Benedictine and Dalton Witherspoon. Kick coverage downfield for Mid-America by Grant Pella, the kicker, makes that stop. And it is first and 10, Ravens. Is it imperative for the Ravens to score in this position? No, but if they're going to get a little bit of momentum and a little bit of feel-good happening, they probably need to here.
Yeah, you need to start doing something. I mean, this is going to be your first full possession of the second quarter. You had that carryover possession that went early into the second quarter. You got a touchdown, but again, you just got to start capitalizing on offense.
And here's a straight-ahead carry for Dalton Witherspoon. And a defender foolishly just literally jumps on his back, throws his arms around him, jumps on top of him, and Witherspoon just keeps going south, picks up 6, maybe 7 yards on the carry.
Finally, Ronald Huff makes a stop right there for the Pioneers. But, talked about it, let's call it a gain of 6 on first down and bring up 2nd and 4 for the Raven offense.
And Benedictine does have, because plenty of time to establish a running game and run the ball down the field with a mix of passing this afternoon. They don't have to just depend on throwing. Here's Witherspoon again, left side, hits the brakes, loses his footing, is able to regain his balance enough to lunge forward for what is going to be almost a first down. He's going to end up about a yard short. We've seen that happen to Dalton a handful of times this season where he plants that foot, feet shoot out underneath it. What are they wearing, Keds out there?
Well, so Dalton's problem is that when he cuts, he's not a run over his feet and make a shallow cut. Coach Potts would always talk about make shallow cuts, shallow cuts. He makes that big kind of Barry Sanders outside the frame type cut. And the problem is, if you don't have that balance, that feet go out from under you and you fall forward.
This is geometry 101, right? Here's Jackson Dooley keeping it himself, running to the right side. He'll pick up a first down inside the 45-yard line to the 43. So there's something that we have seen little to none this season. Ravens carrying the ball straight ahead, and it's first and 10. Now BC is going to run a bevy of receivers into the game. And looking out here and trying to see who all I'm seeing. Number 8 coming into the game. It's going to be LeBron in there as a receiver. Trips left for Benedictine. QB's back, hands off, and look out at the 40-30, 25-20. Finally spun down, Sean Wara. Best run of the day for Benedictine. And it's on the wheels of Sean Wara.
That time, great job by Sean Wara running to the right side. Got a couple good blocks, able to push it all the way down inside the 20. They're going to mark it at the 15 and quickly Benedictine back up over the football.
It's good to see them playing with a little bit of a sense of urgency, trying to develop that momentum. Here's Wara again. Drives into the middle, turns sideways, knifes his way to the 10-yard line, picking up five more, where John Brown makes the stop. So the Ravens moving to football. Gus looking a little more Benedictine-like, as we've been grown accustomed to seeing this year, as you have college football this afternoon here on KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison. Good to have you along with us. We've got 6:49 to go in the opening half. Ravens find themselves trailing at 24-7, surprisingly, I think, for everybody and probably even the Mid-America fans here today. Here's going to be the handoff again to Wara. This time he's going to be hit in the backfield, wrapped around, grabbed by the throat, and spun to the ground by Lance Jones.
That time Lance doing a great job getting into the backfield, able to spin the running back down for very little on the play. Now, all of a sudden, Benedictine quickly looking into the eyes of a 3rd and 6.
That kind of looked like a Harley Race move where he reaches around and grabs him by the neck. And
you saw a Harley Race move last week. What, in, was that Texas A&M and Ole Miss?
Really? There you go. I love it. Third down at the 10-yard line. Third down, 5 Ravens. And again, the question for Benedictine is, if you don't pick up a first down here, are you satisfied with 3? Last time they were not. Here's a snap back. The pitch. Going to the outside, Witherspoon. He made a little indecision, and that's going to cost him any yardage at all.
Yeah.
He thought about going in, then he thought about going out. And instead of running, he was thinking and ends up with nothing.
And the other problem was he's trying to run out there, and Joseph Lagafuiana was the wide receiver out on the left side, and he was being pushed right back into the hip pocket of Dalton. So Dalton had to take a step back, and Benedictine, what looked like a promising possession, now they're going to look to settle for a field goal right here.
So BC trailing 24-7, going to try to pick up the 3. The 25-yard field goal is airborne, and good, we're taking a timeout, Joseph. Break at 5, 24 to go in the half. It is Mid-America 24, Benedictine 10.
At Amberwell, they understand that choosing the right Medicare plan can be overwhelming. Low monthly premiums are tempting, but remember, it's not always about the cost. It's about what's covered. You could get caught in a plan this year that doesn't truly meet your needs. That's why they encourage you to take advantage of Amberwell's Medicare Optimized service. It's free and provides you with a dedicated healthcare benefits navigator to assist you in selecting the plan best suited to your unique healthcare needs. Schedule your free Medicare Optimized service today by calling 913-367-2650.
Back with you here on Senior Day 2023 on the Benedictine College campus. Good to have you along with us this afternoon. 54 degrees at kickoff time today. It is overcast. Gus, I saw numbers from the National Weather Service that said 74% coverage. It's 100%. It is gray and dark. You'd think you were in Toledo, is what you would think you were. 54 degrees, 46% humidity. The wind is from the south-southeast and light, around 10 to 14 miles an hour. And, you know, as football days go in the middle of November, this is not too shabby. Much better than we had a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we could be, you know, 35 degrees in rain.
It could be. It has
been. Under a tent.
It's been that, too.
So, for the Ravens, able to get something off that drive, they ended up taking a field goal and now going to send the ball back to Mid-America here. And the Pioneers have had a really good game plan today. They've sat back. They've hit some big plays. You talk about Orlandis Mitchell. He's already got 3 touchdowns. Those 3 came in the first quarter, a 96-yard reception, a 32-yard reception, and a 3-yard touchdown run. You cap it off with Trevor Hiley hitting a season-long field goal of 49 yards. Why not wait till the last game of the season to do that? And for Mid-America, I mean, they've just been pretty successful today, scoring on 4 of their 5 possessions.
Here comes Benedictine and the Harry Balke kickoff is away, and again, not very deep, and very high, fielded at the 14-yard line. Pioneer straight up the middle. There was a little daylight, and getting across the 30 to the 31, it'll be Mitchell, 1st and 10, Mid-America. For the Raven defense, time to make a stand. They have not really had one of those trademark, heels dug in stands here this afternoon, and the BC offense needs that ball back. Ravens trailing at 24-10, 5:18 left in the half. Mid-America in those traveling white jerseys, white pants, white helmets with the blue lettering and trim. BC, the red jerseys, black helmets, and white lettering and trim. Adrian Parsons having a pretty good game so far this afternoon. 190 passing yards already today. Takes a snap, no one to the backfield with him. He'll step up, fire BB over the middle, and it's going to be caught at the Raven 40-yard line. And again, just tearing it away from Carson Anderson. The catch downfield by Paul St. Louis. Move the chains, got to another 40-yard pass play.
That's the second time we've seen a Mid-America receiver able to rip the ball away. We saw Orlandis Mitchell do it on that 32-yard touchdown where he pulled it away from a defender, and that time just able to take it over the middle, rip it away. I thought Carson was maybe going to be able to rip it back for an interception. Instead, the Pioneers in Raven territory all the way down to the 38-yard line. It'll be first and 10 there, 4:42 left here in the first half. Pioneers leading 24-10.
Again, Adrian Parsons, just all the time he possibly wants back there to let routes be run to select potential receivers. Here's a handoff in the backfield, and again, great defense by BC. First guy, Jared Heron. Second guy, Heath Baker. You're not going to run against this Benedictine defense here today. Mid-America has run for what? 26 yards in the first half. Now, take four off of that, make it 22 at second down 14. But passing, Adrian Parsons now up to 220 yards plus and rolling, throwing the football. And back to throw again on second down long. Again with time, he'll throw it and throw it out of bounds. Is that a grounding, or was there a receiver near enough? Because he was not out of the pocket.
Well, the official is going to say that the receiver over there, Miles Himes, was in the area code.
I like the general, in the area. That's kind of like close enough.
That's kind of one of my problems with, intentional grounding is it's definitely a judgment call. Now the Ravens are going to bring Cole Johnson in. Talk about Cole, 26 tackles on the season, 6 sacks. So he's in there to get the quarterback on this 3rd and 14.
At the Raven 42-yard line, Mid-America, 3 to the right, 1 to the left, and the back is in the backfield, but he will check out and go out as a receiver. Quarterback is back, hits his own lineman, stood up, and then the Raven defense swarms him, and Heath Baker will get credit for the sack, but Gus, I'm loving Blaine Blevins right there. The 305-pound center blocked Adrian Parsons' route of escape.
Well, that time, the Ravens we talked about coming into the ball game was Cole Johnson, but he bent the edge quickly, forced quarterback Adrian Parsons to step up, and then there was nowhere to go as Blevins knocked off his only escape route, and right there was Heath Baker to just swallow him up. A loss on the play will bring up now 4th and 16 with 3 minutes and 15 seconds left in the first half.
Ravens are going to have to make a quick drive downfield. As Mid-America used a lot of time on that possession. Milk the clock all the way down, as you mentioned, at 3:05 left.
There we go, false start.
Penalty markers, and that will cost Mid-America 5. They won't care about that much from the 44-yard line. You've got Jay Sean for the return back deep.
It's kind of interesting.
Jay Sean is going to step
false
up.
False start. Offense, number 22, 5-yard penalty, remains 4th down.
The official, what's he doing over there? He's pulling on Jay Sean's jersey. I think just making sure it's down over that little flap on the back.
That's a little Robinson, like an R-22. That's like a personal helicopter. That's not like a official machine.
Cool.
It is. Here we go, 4th down and 20-plus. Mid-America with the ball near the 50. Going to punt this away again. Long, long count. Snap is back, taken at the helmet. The boot is away, and he hurried that one. And it's going to take a huge bounce, picked up by Jay Sean at the 10. Todd to the 20. Kicks outside to the 25, up the left side to the 30, to the 40, Jay Sean to the 50, Jay Sean to the 45, needs a block, got it, he's at the 40, 30, Jay Sean down the right side, cuts back into the middle, finding a punter, brings him down at the 15-yard line. That is a 75-yard return.
Okay, they're going to say he was down. The ball popped loose at the end of that play, and Mid-America came away with it. What a return right there by Jay Sean Todd. And all of a sudden, the Ravens set up with excellent field position.
75 yards on the return because he went from sideline to sideline as he weaved his way through the kick coverage, probably ran 130. It's first and 10, Benedictine. With that great return, the BC offense needs to take advantage of that newly found momentum. 2:26 to go in the half. If you go into the locker room trailing by a score, it's a whole different second half.
And you get the ball to start the second half.
Wide to the left side. Here comes the Raven offense. They'll have trips left, single man to the near side. Cameron Dover's way out there. Quarterback is back, pumps once, pumps again, fade pattern, and it's going to be out of bounds. Looking for Dover, but impossible to catch, and had he been able to, he'd have been three steps out of play.
Cameron Dover is a guy who, when we see him in chunks, right? Like, we'll see him in for 8 or 10 plays, and we might not see him for a couple weeks. Cameron on the season, 13 catches through 11 weeks, 186 yards.
We got Sean Wara as a receiver over here on the near side. Now, he's not your big tall receiver at 5'7" or 5'8". Now, he'll go motion to the left and set up on the right hand of quarterback Jackson Dooley. Second down, 10. They'll give it to Sean. He goes into the middle. There's nothing there. Maybe got a yard, but also BC Gus burning a lot of time. We're going to go inside 2 minutes here.
Yeah, that time Wara got the ball on the left and then just tried to jump into the line. The problem with doing that is, you get airborne in the middle of that line, you're going to be swallowed up. And that time, he did just that as Ronald Huff, the big 6'6", 250-pound defensive end out of Washington, picks him up and drops him for a short gain. It's now third down for Benedictine. And, again, if you're smart, you just let a little time roll off here.
Jacob Gathright on the right side. We haven't seen him touch the ball much. QB's back. He'll throw to Jacob in the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! Gathright, he had outrun on the short sprint his coverage. And Benedictine into the end zone, and there's a marker down back at the where the quarterback threw the ball. Was he hit?
Yeah, you got to think it's going to be a roughing the passer, and you're going to try to add it on to the kickoff.
So the Ravens.
Personal foul, roughing the passer, defense. That penalty enforced on the kickoff. Result of the play, touchdown.
There you have it. So the Ravens are now back within 8, and a PAT from Harry Balke coming up. Jackson Dooley will hold it. Philippi will snap it. Ravens looking to get back to within a possession. It is down and up and got it there. The PAT is good and a touchdown set up by a spectacular punt return by Jayshon Todd. And we got a timeout on the field with now a minute 40 to go in the opening half. The Ravens roaring back. It's Mid-America 24, Benedictine 17.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With 3 tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
In much better shape than they were only a few minutes ago. They've gotten themselves back to within a score with a minute 40 to go in the opening half. Raven crowd is here in big numbers. Mid-America crowd, of course, as it's a short hour's trip to Olathe and a shorter half-hour trip to Oskaloosa, have come here and really turned out to support their team also. So we've got a really nice crowd, but both crowds, they feel uneasy right now, okay? I think Mid-America's seeing Benedictine coming back, and the Ravens are still uneasy at trailing this close to halftime. They haven't had that much this year. And here's the kick from the 50-yard line, and that is going to be taken a yard deep and brought out. Hit at the 10-yard line and down at the 14. I would have let that thing go over.
That's just not the greatest decision right there.
First and 10, Mid-America. And if you're Mid-America, do you go deep a play or two, or do you just say, you know what, I'm on the road here today. It's a huge, huge game. My playoff future hangs in the balance, and I just want to take a lead into the locker room? Because if you throw the ball 3 times and don't pick up a first down, BC's going to get it back.
Yeah, but
before halftime.
But you've got Orlandis Mitchell, who's the best receiver in the country. So, yeah, I mean, I'd probably throw this thing.
Here we go, first and 10. Pioneers, the quarterback, a little misdirection, hands off late to his running back. He is absolutely drilled in the solar plexus. inside there by Kevin Harris, and we'll lose a yard or two, and the Ravens are going to take a timeout. We will hang on to it right here. A couple of items that we need to share. First
time
of all,
out.
we want to express our congratulations to Benedictine and head coach Joel Osborne, as it was announced this week that he's going into the Iowa Athletic Hall of Fame this year for his time as quarterback at Harlan and the achievements that he won, the state championships, record-setting passing performances. So, Coach Osborne, guys, I looked at the people going into the hall, and he was easily the youngest addition to this group. So that's kind of an achievement to go in at a young age. So congratulations to Coach Osborne on that recognition. Now, here's the thing. I told him, you know, that was really cool, and congratulations on it. And he said, yeah, but I'm hoping that I don't go because the award ceremony is next weekend.
Yeah, you know, you get to record that thing.
He's hoping that he's got a football game to be at.
Well, hey, right now you find yourself down 24-17, so not exactly where you want to be, but lots of football left to be played. And for the Ravens, I mean, we're kind of hoping that we get to be maybe even back here next weekend.
Yeah, again, not where you hope to be, but
I would have preferred to
score,
be. I would have preferred to be at home next Saturday, as in like not playing football and having the bye next Saturday.
That would be delightful.
Doesn't look like the cards are going to stack that way.
Second down, 10. The Pioneers quarterback is back. He's going to be hit as he releases the ball. He's got a man wide open, and another diving catch made. And the Ravens giving up chunks of yards. I think, Gus, are they just the Ravens just looking to not let them score again?
Why is the clock still running?
Because I get, don't they let it run with the change of hands?
Under 2 minutes, you stop it.
Well, they have not. And we're now under a minute to go.
Yeah, second and fourth quarter, you stop it under the 2 minute.
No rage by Coach Hansen. Here's a pass to running back out of the backfield, and he'll streak down the right side, gets across midfield, and will be bumped out of bounds over there by Carson Anderson. And now they're in Benedictine territory with 49 seconds. That's a lot of time.
49 seconds. You've got a touchdown. You've got a timeout, and you've got a kicker who's knocked in a 49-yarder. And you say, well, field goal really isn't a big deal, but it is because it makes it a two-possession game.
From the midfield mark, it's first down 10. Back to throw again is Parsons, and again with time, throws it, and again, coming back to the ball, a diamond catch by E.J. Rogers. And that's what Mid-America has done. They've been a lot of comeback curl patterns like that.
And the advantage for Mid-America, if you run that curl pattern over 10, you pick up the first down, stops the clock long enough to reset the sticks, and here you go.
It is first and 10 now at the Benedictine 39. Motion to the middle. QB's back, pumps once, throws deep, got his man, he's open over the middle, and he makes a catch inside the 15, then has it dislodged by a big hit from Jackson Hoskins. Jackson came down and laid a lick, as they say, on the receiver, Miles Himes, and Himes takes a minute, goes off the field, and he's over there kind of shaking the cobwebs out right now. And he gets up, and he's fine. Got a big grin on his face. Quarterback is back, and penalty markers everywhere. That receiver was, what, 15, 18, 19 yards downfield before the ball snapped?
Yeah, a lot of people have moved except for the center. It'll probably be another one. Everyone but the center.
Clock stopping at 25 seconds left in the half. Ravens trailing it 24-17. Let's see what this penalty is going to be all about, as it is clearly against Mid-America.
Fire the snap. Ball start. Offense. Number 74, 5-yard penalty, remains second down. This is not a 10-second runoff because the game clock was dead.
There you go.
Yeah, it was dead because of an incomplete pass. So, yes, no 10-second runoff.
Nicely explained by the officiating crew. Back to throw again. Quarterback flares it to his man out of the backfield, makes a catch, and somehow let himself get tackled in the field of play. To the original line of scrimmage. That was a bad play.
Yeah, you're better off not catching that thing, right? Yeah. Because you picked up three, you burned now your final timeout, and so Mid-America going to use their last timeout. Joseph, we'll keep it here. They were just calling that timeout to stop the clock and figure out what they're going to do here. So the ball's at the 39. You're out of field goal range, but if you can pick up a first down, it'll stop the clock long enough, you can spike the ball and then bring in your field goal unit. I think that's what you're playing for right now.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Hey, certainly around, if you noticed, if you went to the bank today, if you're standing out by your mailbox waiting for that postcard from your friends on vacation that's not going to come today because that's not happening, it is Veterans Day. 11/11 is Veterans Day, and we just want to take a moment to express our gratitude to all the men and women who have and are serving. So thank you very much for that. You know, my Grandpa Gus is in World War One. That's been a minute ago.
A couple years ago.
There you go. 18 seconds of play in the first half. Benedictine's defense right now, they're not even looking for a takeaway. They just want to make sure and keep Mid-America from adding anything on with moments left. It is third down, 10 Pioneers at the BC 39-yard line. And if you're Adrian Parsons, you throw one into the end zone, right, and hope for the best?
I throw one to the 25.
Okay.
Pick up the first down.
We'll see what he does. He's back to throw here on his third down call. Flushed out. Oh, he's buried at the 50. One, two defenders on top of him, and one standing right beside him. And Jared Heron is the first guy. Heath Baker is the second. Cole Johnson just standing there making sure he doesn't get up, but if so, he would have finished it.
Yep, and that will get us through the break.
It's halftime at Atchison. We'll be back to summarize the opening half for you. They go to the locker room. Mid-America 24, Benedictine 17.
It's time for the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Benedictine football. Here Radio 93.7. Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our new BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco. Cook a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. A la Carrito. There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this new BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
Good to have you back with us here in Atchison, Kansas, Wilcox Stadium on the beautiful Benedictine campus. Ravens go into the locker room trailing at 24-17, but Gus, it started off very slowly for Benedictine, but as the half went on, it seemed like they were getting things figured out and were playing better and better as we got toward intermission.
Yeah, the first couple of possessions had a lot of penalties, and for Benedictine, they end the first half, 5 penalties for 46 yards. So, again, they kind of were able to taper that back as the half progressed. 6 penalties for Mid-America. But the total yards in the first half, Mid-America ran 37 plays for 286 yards. Benedictine ran 5 fewer plays at 32 and ran it for, 118 fewer yards on those 5 plays. So, on third down, Benedictine 3 of 7, Mid-America only 1 of 6. I mean, that's kind of been the difference maker this afternoon, is that Benedictine's been able to hold Mid-America on those third downs this afternoon.
For the Ravens, pretty balanced. 16 rushes, 16 pass attempts in the first half. Hey, stick around. We'll be back and bring you to the second half live. Got a great halftime interview that we're looking forward to sharing with you, so stay tuned and enjoy that. We'll be back right now with that score at the break. Mid-America 24, Benedictine 17. Back we go to the studios. It's halftime.
Are you confused about the stock market? Do you feel like you're taking too much risk? Do you just feel lost at times on what to do? If you are looking for investment guidance in these uncertain times, Hamada Wealth Management is here to assist. Ken Hamada with Hamada Wealth Management has been helping retirees with their income and retirement plans for over 24 years. If you are looking for some direction with your investment and retirement portfolio, they invite you to give them a call. They'll be happy to sit down and review your financial goals. Make sure your investments are in tune with your objectives. And finally, make sure you're not taking too much risk. At Hamada Wealth Management, they believe it's important to not just make money, but preserve it. To schedule your income and retirement plan review, give Ken a call at 913-379-8690. That's 913-379-8690. Or search online at Hamada Wealth, Atchison, Kansas. Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services.
Hey, today we've got Rashad Beckham with us.
offensive lineman for the Benedictine. Rashad, it's good to meet you, man. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm all right. All right. We're going to start off with a little conversation with the Rashad bio. Tell me a little bit about home and where you're from and maybe siblings, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, my name's Rashad Beckham, play center, number 51, from California, Oceanside to be exact. One older brother, and yeah.
Was he a athlete?
A little bit of football in high school. I think I was a little better, but...
Of course you do. That's the younger brother thing, right?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, so... Mission Viejo.
Yes, sir.
Go Diablos, yeah?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay, tell me the truth. How good was that high school team of yours?
It was great, honestly. I mean, we have, I think, my class before me or after me, all Pac-12 guys, I mean, all across the board, even on paper, we're really talented. So, I mean, that's a big special group of guys.
Won a lot of games.
Oh, yeah, won a lot of games. I mean, unfortunately, lost Centennial early, but Centennial was also a great team.
Okay, now... That brings me to kind of a question. I'd love to ask this. Are there guys who you had played with in high school, and guys whose names that we're hearing, or is there anybody we know that's gone on to a school that maybe I've heard?
So I was at J-Sarah my freshman through junior year. Then I had transferred to Mission my senior year. But even at J-Sarah, guys that I've played against, Kayvon Thibodeau, he's on the Giants right now at DN. Zach Charbonnet, who just got drafted, we played against him too. Plenty of guys. I played against Bryce Young, JT Daniels, DJ Ugalele, all types of guys throughout high school.
Okay, so SoCal, hotbed for football.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What's it like living in Southern California? I mean, you're what, like Capistrano and the beach and all of that?
Yeah, I was in Oceanside, but I mean, as you hear, Oceanside. Like 10 minutes from the beach. Growing up, it actually feels normal because that's your whole life. But it wasn't until I got here and went back and also met people from like the Kansas area that were like, oh, we go to California for like vacation. I was like, what? Like, I just grew up there. So going back, it feels like vacation now. Like, you just have access to everything. Within your own city, you have sushi, whatever you want to eat, buffets, beach, you can go up to the deserts. You go fishing, lakes, whatever. So
that sounds pretty. And the weather, I'm told, never been there.
Yeah, never.
The weather is like it, right?
Yeah, I can check the weather right now on Oceanside. It's probably about 68. Sometimes I wake up and check the weather here, and I get the weather back at home, and I'm like, oh boy, yeah, it's 72
at home right now.
Yep.
Okay, so when you had come to Atchison, you had probably never experienced like the cold or the winter or anything.
I had not. So I actually visited in February.
Okay.
So I just brought my regular hoodie, sweatpants, and we get here, and they said it's going to be snowing, and I was like, all right, like, I don't know how cold. I've never been real snow before, and then I get here, and I was like, oh, this is cold. And I remember asking the coaches, do you guys practice outside when it's snowing? And they're like, yeah. And I was kind of like, oh. Like,
because we're also playing outside
exactly,
when it's snowing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we play outside, so we practice outside. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to be a little different. But
tell me how you got, okay, from SoCal. And end up at Atchison, Kansas. How'd that happen? Tell me about the recruiting, how you selected this school, because I'm sure you had options, you know?
Yeah, I had a few options. So in my time, obviously, you know, quarantine and COVID, it kind of killed recruitment. So I was a 3-star in high school, so I did have, like, some D1s and all that stuff. And Benedictine had offered me my junior year. They were my second offer.
I'm going to interrupt you. Who is doing the recruiting of you? Who's your contact guy?
Aaron Hauser.
Okay.
Aaron Hauser. So, yeah, he's like the SoCal guy. So I think everyone here from SoCal is from Hauser meeting us. But, yeah, so I'd offer from them. And then he actually kept in contact with me, surprisingly. So at first, I mean, Benedictine, I had no idea what it was at the moment. You're a SoCal kid. You think you're going to USC still and UCLA and all that. So I just kind of pushed it off. But he always kept in contact with me, so I would always text him back. The next, you know, senior year after quarantine and all that happened, it's like D1s are like, oh, sorry, we're going to go get a JUCO guy. We're going to go get a transfer portal guy. And Hauser was still like, we want you. So I was like, all right. And then took my visit. And then two of my friends from high school, Trey Williams, he's a cornerback, and Christian Liberty, he's a safety. They also had offers. So at the end of the day, we were all just like, want to go to college together? And we were like, sure. So we took our visit. And signed, and yeah, the rest is history.
So, three high school teammates are here at Benedictine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any younger guys coming from there? Have you opened a pipeline to Mission Viejo?
I've tried a little bit. A few guys have went to Mission. I know And then a few guys from Mission. I just tell guys, like, if you don't want to go the JUCO route and you want to come to a four-year, then just let me know, and I'll talk to coach, and we'll watch your film, or they'll watch your film and see if you get off or not. But
did you ever have in your mind, you know, maybe I want to do the JUCO thing and then do something else? Or when you found Benedictine, did you say, this feels home?
Yeah, so at first I was thinking, like, the JUCO route, but I knew that after 2 years, like, it's over. Like, you have to go and you have to get out. And my biggest thing was I was undersized. I'm a 5'11 center. Everyone else wants, like, 6'2", 6'3 guys. And I don't want to go through the whole recruiting process again and be in JUCO with, like, knowing that I have to get out. So I wanted something more secure. And when I visited here, because I actually had visited Black Hills State in South Dakota. They are a D2 school. And they were giving me this big scholarship, all this good stuff, and da-da-da. And then I didn't really like it. I literally told the coach, like, I went and it was like everything was frozen. And he had told me all the players were like, yeah, it's basically like this all year besides summer. I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to like be here. So when I came here to Benedictine, that's when I knew after the visit. I had met Leonard, all the coaching staff, and then I had pretty much found out, like, yes, where I want to be, where I see myself.
And when you walk on the campus, I mean, I'm totally biased. I'm just going to start right off with that. But, yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely beautiful, yeah. And I mean, coming from a big city, I want to try something different, too. I wanted to go to, like, a smaller town, smaller school. Believe it or not, but at J. Serra, it was a smaller Catholic school. And I liked that, not being at, like, a big area. I liked to be at, like, a smaller school where, like, all the teachers knew you and all the teachers would. Like, they didn't want you to ever fail a class. They always wanted to push you and make you, like, a better person. So when I figured that out here, I got that same type of, like, vibe from my high school that, like, it's almost that same type of place. So that also added to the factor.
Rashad Beckham with us, offensive lineman, center for Benedictine. And, okay, let's talk about the important stuff. Let's talk academics.
I have declared, so I am in a sports management. I want to go into medical sales. I wanted to be a physical therapist at first, took a few classes, and I was kind of like, maybe this isn't for me. So I lean more towards the sports management side. So after I do plan on doing medical sales. So
where do you see yourself 5-10 years from now? Are you going to be back in Cali? Are you going to be, where would you like to be when you get there?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. California's too expensive right now. It's just impossible to start a life. And living on my own is great, you know, getting away from the parents. I love the parents, but some age you got to leave the house. So, I think once I graduate from here, I know they have a great, like connections and everything with, like, alumni. It's like the Raven Network. So I know there's a few people, even football players, who have gone into medical sales from here. So, one plan is to keep playing football and try to play, like, international in Japan or somewhere. I know Pops knows a bunch of guys. And then the other plan is to stay in like the Kansas area and just get a job, get an apartment, just live life, figure it out. And then third plan, if I like really, I'm just like, I just want to go back home then. Then I'll go back to California, get a job, and pay my parents rent, save up, and we'll see from there.
You talk about the family. When you've gotten to this team, I look around this team, I get that family vibe. Is that right?
Oh, that's 100% right. I mean, at first, like, in high school, my other visits, everyone always preaches family, and it's almost like a cheesy thing. But once I got here and actually met all the guys, there's not one guy that I don't get along with. Like, no matter where you're at, whatever class you're at, all the guys actually care for each other. Like, even when I was a freshman, like, I mean, when you get here first day, you're not really talking, you're a freshman. I'm just, let me put my pads on, let me go practice. Brad Burkett, his locker's right across from me. He'd always talk to me. He'd always try to make me talk, open up, and so slowly, you open up to everyone, and yeah, it's a great group of guys.
And, of course, your position coach, Coach Pops, you mentioned him a minute ago. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Oh, it doesn't. Old school, classic, tough football. Exactly what you want.
Okay, so, you're not playing football and in class 24/7. You're in both of those a lot, but yeah. You got a little spare time. Tell me what you do. What's your hobbies?
So once again with the whole brotherhood, there's another player on the team, Tate. He lives in Atchison and he actually has a dam in his backyard. So me and a few guys will go and fish every now and then. We'll fish in his backyard. So
to fish at home? I mean,
at home. Yeah. So I did a lot of trout fishing back at home. And once I got out here, because I came for the summer, So I did a lot of bass fishing. And then he was just like, yeah, come over by my house and come fish. And so we hang out, fish. And
you know, they stock trout in Dam 1 right up here right
yeah,
next
that's
to
what I've
every
heard.
Year.
I've heard in, I think, February or December through February. Yeah, they stock right here. So, yeah, I'm about to go try some trout fishing for sure. I've seen a few guys catch some trout over there. And I was asking, like, what are you using? Like, there's trout in here? And they're like, yeah. And I was, because I actually do catch and cooks, too.
Nice.
So, yeah, sort of think about.
Can you cook?
I can cook.
Tell me about it.
I learned how to cook when I was really young. It all happened, like, elementary school. One summer, I got tired of, because their parents are gone for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And they would just get us frozen food, you know, don't blow up the house, be good. So I would eat frozen pizzas and burgers and Otter Pops, and it was a great childhood. But after a while, I was kind of like, I want to try to cook something. I want spaghetti. Also, I don't want a burger anymore. So
there's only so many Uncrustables
exactly,
that you can have, right?
Exactly. Until you're tired of them. So I started off with eggs and breakfast stuff, and then from there, now I know how to cook just about anything.
Wow, how good is that?
It was
so.
Good
so, you live in a house in town?
I am in the dorms right now.
Okay, so yeah. Your dorm mates, they come to you and they say, "Hey, for supper, what's for supper?"
No, exactly. Yeah, if we don't go to the cafeteria to eat, they'll come to me. Oh, let's go get some chicken thighs, and I'll make some rice. So I have, like, chicken thighs, rice, and broccoli. Over summer, we stayed here in town, and the dorms aren't open, so we stayed in the little Airbnb. And I was, like, the chef for the whole, for the guys I was with. So.
That sounds like healthy stuff. Chicken, broccoli, rice?
I made some good meals. I had, like, some teriyaki salmon with, like, avocado, and, yeah, I make some good stuff.
That's nice. A lot of the guys are video game guys, you know, when they're off. Are you one?
I have slightly became one a little bit. I mean, Madden gets old from time to time.
I was going
to
ask you, so what is your game? What's the one game I don't want to challenge you at because you're, like, pretty good at it?
I would say Madden. I do still play it often, but I've been playing it since I was, like, 8. So after a while, kind of like Madden. But, you know, the new players come out and new rookies getting drafted. You want to use them, so... But I'm pretty good at Madden, and Fortnite obviously just came back, so I've been playing that. Me and probably like 6 guys, we all play. It's called Zone Wars. We all fight against each other, so we just, after practice, go play the game for a little bit.
Sounds good. Okay, favorite Gatorade?
Gatorade definitely has to be, I think it's Glacier Cherry, the white one.
The white one. Gatorade. You see, yeah. I've had a couple of guys say that.
Yeah, that's lately. The best one. The worst one is for sure... the cucumber lime. That's for sure the worst Gatorade. But some people like it. I don't know how.
Like, early bird, night owl.
I would say... I feel like I'm getting old now. Now that I've been in college for a while, I'm almost beat up now. So I think early bird. I like to... I mean, I wake up at... I don't wake up too early. My first class is at 9. So I'm up by like 8. But I don't stay up too late anymore. I gotta...
Get that rest?
The 8 hours of rest is no joke. Sometimes I need 9.
Okay, now, you kind of alluded to this early in our conversation. We've got Rashad Beckham with us, center for Benedictine, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier. So many things to do in SoCal. Now, I've never been there. It's summertime, off-season. You're at home. I find myself there and bump into you. Where are you taking me, man? Where are we going? What are we doing? And most importantly, you look at me, I love a meal.
Yeah.
Where are you taking me to eat and what are we having?
All right, so we can start off. I mean, I'll take you fishing. Me and my friend, we go fishing. It's called the Carlsbad Lagoon, and we catch halibut. It's kind of like flounder, but it's like an ocean type of flounder. So we go fish there in the morning, and then you're at the beach, so it starts to heat up a little bit, and it's summertime. So we throw the poles back in the car and we go jump in the water for a little bit, swim around. And then there's a spot on the coast. It's called Coast Highway. It's called Angelo's. So we'll go there. It's kind of like an American diner type drive-through type place. So go there, get some meal.
What's on the menu that I'm gonna like? Give me
they
some.
Have about. So they do have like burgers, fries, and all that, but they also have like gyro meat. Do you like gyro at all?
Sure.
So they have like these gyro sandwiches that they're really good. So I get those. Have you had Korean barbecue?
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So they have like Korean barbecue. It's like all you can eat. They bring out a bunch of meat. You cook it. Eat with rice. Go there. There's a Mexican. You actually have to have the Mexican food in California. Kansas, you know, I mean, I love Kansas and everything, but the Mexican food is just...
It's different.
Yeah, it's different than California, so... there's a thing called a Brian burrito. It's called a California burrito. It's like carne asada burrito, fries in it. and they dope wrap it in a quesadilla with a taquito in the middle.
Oh, now you're talking.
It's like bigger than my forearm. I can't even finish it personally. So, but those are like our three spots we go to.
All right, I like it. Let's see, a movie. Okay, everybody's got like a movie they like. What's your number one movie? You can't see it too many times, and you know most of the lines.
Yeah. So number one movie, I have to say Nacho Libre or Wolf on Wall Street.
Okay.
I don't know the two.
Well, that covers the whole spectrum.
Yeah,
right there.
It covers those, exactly. Nacho Libre is a classic Jack Black movie. Love it. And then Wolf on Wall Street, I used to watch it as a kid just all the time. Just like, oh, Leonardo DiCaprio, that guy's awesome. Like, look at him, he's making money and living the life. So
awesome. Okay, we're going to get you out of here, but I have one more question. This is the toughest question I'm going to ask you, so I understand that this isn't going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, what is it?
Superman, Batman, that is
for tough. Or if you need, maybe there's somebody else.
I personally like Deadpool.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's my favorite Marvel character is Deadpool, just because, I mean, he just talks trash, he's funny, he's more like a vigilante, he's not really like a superhero, he tries to be good, and I think it's the second movie, but he ends up like killing someone by accident, and he's a classic.
Okay, so is this like Rashad's alter ego, maybe, the kind of the funny guy with the, you know, with the tough streak?
Yeah, exactly, yeah, I'd say, yeah, that tough guy. Superman, I think all little kids love him, because he's like really good guy, all that. Batman's all right. Or Spider-Man. I don't like Spider-Man. I've never been a fan, really.
That's great. Rashad, it's been a pleasure, man. It's good to talk to you. Good to meet you. We wish you continued success, and you and the Ravens going a long way this year.
All right, see. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Taco John's Halftime Show on your home for Raven football, Care Radio 93.7. Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better. We now return to Tom and Gus live at the stadium for second half coverage of Benedictine Raven football.
Welcome back here to Wilcox Stadium in Atchison, Kansas, where we're moments away from the onset of the second half at intermission. Benedictine trails the visitors from Mid-America 24-17. Welcome back, everybody. Many thanks to Joseph. He's our producer, engineer, halftime guru. Back in the studio, Joseph, thank you very much. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts, and don't forget that it is a big sports day on Care Radio, because at the conclusion of this one, we pack up our ditty bag and roll down the hill and head to the Nolan Gymnasium, where it's going to be Benedictine men's basketball at 5 o'clock tonight. Okay, right now, 2:42. We should be in good shape to get down there by 5, don't you think? You know,
I think it's still going to be.
It's going to be all right. So we're going to be down there with Coach Moody and the Ravens, and look forward to bringing you the men's game. The Benedictine ladies, by the way, are at Morningside at 5 o'clock.
Made that trip a few times, right? Yeah. Not to Morningside, but to Sioux City, Iowa, as the Tyson Event Center.
Yes, been to the Tyson. Been to.
You ever been to Morningside?
Places up there? No, not for any games. No. Nick LeCoin at the onset of the game. Ravens won it, deferred, and now they're going to put that kick return unit out on the field.
Next year we hope to go to Morningside for week one.
That's the plan. We hope that all hangs together. You're going to have Dalton Witherspoon back with Jay Chantant for Benedictine for the BC kick return unit. Putting the ball on the tee for Mid-America is going to be junior kicker Trevor Hiley. So here we go, second half underway. Gus, how important is it for the Ravens to get a quick start in the third quarter? Do they really have to, or just really need to?
Want to would be a bigger thing, but I think you just have to finish strong at the end of the third quarter.
Here's Jay Sean taking the return up the left side and up just beyond the 30-yard line, leaving a wake of bodies on the ground behind him as he works his way up the far sideline in front of the Mid-America bench, and Benedictine will run its offense out of the field. First and 10. We are just underway in the second half. Pioneers on the road here today lead the Ravens 24-17. The winner of this one, well, champion of the conference, South Division. BC coming into the game at 4-0 in the conference South. Mid-America coming in at 3-1. Here's a little wraparound handoff, and straight ahead is going to be Wara to begin the second half, and he's only going to get maybe a yard or so.
Yeah, not a whole lot going on right there for Sean Mora. Coming up to make the stop for Mid-America, it's going to be Lance Jones, the sophomore linebacker out of Waco, makes the stop. They're going to give him a gain of one. It'll bring up now a second and nine. Jackson Dooley in the first half, 11 of 16 passing, 124 yards, two touchdowns.
Roy, the most successful runner in the first half, 42 yards on seven carries, but they're now going to bring Witherspoon into the game, and quarterback is back to throw. Throws it over to Dalton. He tries to get outside, finally eludes the first tackler, but it's all going to come back with a hold in the backfield. He turns the edge, gets up to the 39-yard line. So for Mid-America, are you going to give him 8 yards, or are you going to move him back 10? I think that's probably not difficult.
We talked about in the early going into this ballgame, Benedictine with so many penalties in the first quarter. They kind of cleaned that up as the half progressed, but boom, we start the second half right back where we started, another penalty. In the first half, Benedictine had 5 penalties for 46 yards.
Ravens seniors introduced to the crowd and recognized here this afternoon prior to the game.
10-yard penalty, previous spot, replay, second down.
So there you have it. The 10-yard penalty is going to push this thing back. Ravens need a big half out of Jackson Dooley, because and he had a great week last week when he was Heart of America Offensive Player of the Week. Went 17-29, 369, and 4 touchdowns last week. He's fifth in the NAIA with 28 passing touchdowns coming into the game here this afternoon. Second down, 10 Ravens. Again, the handoff is going to go to Dalton. He'll cut back in the middle. Oh, that was a nice move. Cuts back again to the right. Goes across the 30, 35. Rides the scrum up to the 37-yard line. That was a really nice 16-yard gain by Witherspoon.
Yeah, and those cuts, we talked about in the first half where he was making those big cuts. That time, little jump cuts. He would hit and then just kind of ski jump back inside. Nice little gain. It'll set up now a 3rd and 5 for the Raven offense. This afternoon, Benedictine on 3rd downs, 3 of 7, so 43% conversion rate.
We're going to have a little speculation from you here after this 3rd down and 4 call for BC at their own 37-yard line. Just underway in the second half, Ravens down a touchdown. Jay Sean will swing his way over to the left side. Quarterback's back, throws one in front of the, or just beyond the sticks to pick up a 1st down, and an immediate tackle is made over there on Gathright. 1st and 10, Benedictine. The game today, Jackson Dooley, 28, I mentioned, touchdown passes. He's got 2 today, getting him now. He's at 30. Who is the Ravens' single-season passing touchdown leader? And how many? Any guess?
I would
take a minute. There's no rush. We got all day.
I would say Schaefer.
Schaefer.
Yeah.
Schaefer with, let me make sure I have this number right. I want to say 33. Yes, 33 for Schaefer.
And 30 of those were Taron Jackson, right?
Probably. Should have been. Maybe 31.
And the problem was, Schaefer sets the record and has, like, what, the number 2 running back all time?
Offense, number 89, 5-yard penalty, remains, 1st down.
Right, the number 2 scorer was on that team as well of all time, and that was Marquise.
Yeah.
So,
Number 2 was number 2.
Yeah. Shows you how good those teams were. Now, the Ravens are going to make a substitution. They're going to take LeBron Jackson out of the ballgame and bring back in Tanner Zimmerman.
So back it goes again. For the second time, the Ravens will begin a series with a penalty, now 1st and 15 from the Ravens 39-yard line. Clock clicking along, 12.5 to go in the third quarter. Back to throw, pass over the middle. TZ, look at him, 45, 40, 35-yard line. The 3rd time Zimmerman has got approximately a 25-yard pass on exactly the same route.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're just taking their tight end, faking like he's going to block, and then just run him right up the seam, hit him right away. And that time he caught it at 10, was able to take it all the way down to the 35-yard line. It'll be another 1st down for the Ravens this afternoon.
So, Gus, my next question for you is, can Jackson eclipse Schaefer in the touchdown race? 30-32 right now. We've got almost a full half to go in the last game of the regular season. Back to throw he goes. Pass left side, and his intended receiver had to come back, but the pass was thrown over the outside shoulder, and Cameron Dover couldn't quite haul that one in.
Yeah, okay, so run those numbers back. Where's Jackson at the moment?
At this moment, with 2 today, he's at 30.
Okay.
And Schaefer's at 33.
Can't catch him this afternoon.
Can't catch him this afternoon. So, that potential new record hinges on playing next Saturday, right?
Yes.
And there you go. 2nd down, and 10 for Benedictine off that incompletion. The handoff is going to go to Jayshon. He'll sprint right, cut into the middle, gets inside the 30 and going to be held up around the 29. And we get, is that a late marker flying down? Yeah. Thrown in at the point of tackle from the referee in the backfield. So we'll see what kind of a tackling. Typically, you'll see a tackling issue here.
Personal foul, face mask, defense, number 9. That penalty force, half the distance in the run.
I think that there is some kind of a lottery among officials for who can throw the most face mask penalties, because we've seen, what, 5 of those in the last 2 days?
Yeah, and the weird thing is the face mask penalties we've been seeing recently are in the tackle box, right? They're where a lot of action is happening, and that's not,
you can't
really
even see them.
Yeah, that's not really where you see that face mask penalty. Typically, you're going to see it outside, you know, down the field type of thing, but it's been fun the last couple of days.
For Benedictine, it will advance the ball inside to the 15-yard line, inside the 20, and this time a slashing run to the left side by Wara is good for only a yard or so. Bring up second and long for the Ravens, down to 11-11 to go
third. That time John Brown was able to knife his way into the backfield and make the hit. Now we're going to see Cameron Dover check in.
So the Ravens are going to bring it. Yeah, they're bringing in the receiver Dover and taking out the big tight end, Court Mattson. Right side of the quarterback is going to be that Wara back there, still in the backfield. They'll slide LeBron Jackson to the right side. Back to throw. Dooley going into the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens! A spinning acrobatic catch with his back to the outside. It's another TD for Tanner Zimmerman.
Tanner Zimmerman now with his second touchdown reception of the day, and for quarterback Jackson Dooley, it's going to be his third touchdown toss of the ball game, and Benedictine looking to tie it up right here.
Wait a minute. You said not this afternoon. He's within 2 now of the all-time record. Wait for that PAT. Looking to tie it up. It's on its way, and we're starting over with 10:45 to go in the third quarter in Atchison. It's even. Benedictine 24, Mid-America 24.
Stop by Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill for lunch or dinner. Try their signature stack burgers or chicken strip basket, original or honey barbecue sauced and tossed. Top it off with a classic DQ treat like a hot fudge sundae, dipped cone, or one of the many Blizzard flavors. All right now at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison. Happy tastes good.
Here at Wilcox Stadium, where Benedictine has come from behind, because they were down 21-0 right out of the chute, and now have tied this game at 24. Welcome back, everybody, with 10:45 to go in the third quarter. BC is set to kick it away to the Pioneers. Mid-America looking for their first possession of the second half.
Right now, the Ravens are on a 17-0 run against Mid-America.
Here's the advance on the ball and the boot away. Again, high but short, very returnable, and taken at the 8. Across the 20, slowed down at the 25, bouncing outside. And what a great individual tackle out there at the 30-yard line. Who's that at the bottom of that stack? Single digit. Is that Kyle Rowland? He got down there, grabbed the leg of the kick return guy like a terrier dog. He wouldn't let go of him, man.
So Kyle Rowland, kind of used to that, right? Playing the cornerback position. He finds himself a lot of times out on an island having to make a one-on-one tackle, and did a great job right there making the stop.
For Mid-America, these close games are absolutely nothing new. 10 games this season, Mid-America comes in at 8-2, and of the 10 games, Mid-America is 5-0 in games that are decided by 7 or less. So Pioneers can win close games. Here's a sweep to the outside that'll be good for right at 5 yards. They're going to mark him out of bounds after a gain of 4 up to the 33-yard line. Again, the Ravens push him out of bounds. And who is that? That's hole number 5, Javai Blomquist.
Yeah, Javai looks like he's got a little extra step right now.
Yeah.
He's out there kind of bouncing around, excited to be back out on the field after being out for the first half.
He's well-rested. A pass into the right flat is going to be caught. The advance of the ball is going to pick up a first down beyond the 40-yard line. And The bump out of bounds is going to come around the 43. Is that Jackson over there? Hoskins with the coverage for BC and drives the receiver out of bounds. First and 10, Mid-America, as they move the ball in their first possession of the second half. Now, we've also been talking about how hard it's been for the Ravens to get any kind of heat back there in the backfield on quarterback Adrian Parsons. He's been elusive. He's had a lot of time. Here's his pass into the left flat, going to be caught there and picking up about 5 yards and then being drilled as Miles Himes. Knocked to the ground by Fabian Njika and Jared Heron. Gain of 5. But, Gus, Mid-America's only allowed 19 sacks on the season. Benedictine has sacked their opponent 34 times coming into the game for a loss of 246 yards, second to the NAI in sacks. QB will hand off running back. Look at him kind of hide behind that big lineman, and the big running back barrels forward inside the 40-yard line. Sean Cherry, he got behind Damian Ruiz. Okay, you could put a Buick and hide it behind Damian Ruiz. He's 6'2", 290 out of Houston, Texas. He is wide and broad, and I'll tell you what, that running back, who's not very small either, he's 5'10", 210, he hid behind him.
500 pounds of humanity right there running.
Rumbling down the field. A handoff to the running back, and this time there's nothing for Sean Cherry there. He will fall forward and get back to the line of scrimmage where it comes up second and 10. Joe Burke, the Ravens, Albuquerque connection is in there. Isn't he St. Pius X guy?
Yep.
I thought so. Just like Paul Kohler, number 40 on your Raven program from 1985. 8.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Tie ball game, Mid-America with possession, moving the ball inside the Raven 40. Quarterback is back to throw, again, with worlds of time. Now he's just going to throw it away. And here's why Adrian Parsons doesn't take a lot of sacks. He gets a lot of time, and when he finally runs out of time, he pitches it, and he's not going to let Jared Heron catch him.
Yeah, that time Jared Heron was never really saw anything, just chucks the ball out of bounds, incomplete. Now the Ravens are going to bring Blake Castile in for this third down call. Blake, the 6'2" freshman out of Maryville, Missouri.
With a little offset eye. Now the fullback is going to go motion. Quarterback pump fakes, and it's a delayed draw. There's nothing for Sean Cherry. And I'll tell you, that's because Blake Castile, this kid is a redshirt freshman from Maryville, Missouri, and he stayed at home, forced a loss of 3. It is 4th down, 13, and I do not think the Pioneers will fake this kick.
Yeah, Grant Pella's going to come in, and he's a 36-yard average. The ball is at the 42, so he's looking to pin this one inside the 10. You're going to see Jayshon kind of backing up inside the 10 instead of that hard rule of heels at the 10. He's going to settle somewhere in around his own 8.
Is that a Dennis Murphy, write it in granite kind of a rule,
yeah,
heels of the 10?
Yeah.
The punt away, the fair catch called for and executed right on the 10-yard line, and the Ravens are going to begin this, their second possession of the second half from there, with 7:43 to go in the third quarter. The game is tied at 24, and Gus, we talked about old Mo in the first half. Well, he's moved from the east sideline to the west sideline because the Ravens have the momentum right now.
You start looking at the first 5 possessions for Mid-America, ended in 4 scores, 3 touchdowns, a field goal. Their very first possession ended in a punt. But since then, their last 3 possessions, 2 punts, and then they got to halftime. For Benedictine, their first 3 possessions were terrible, right? A punt, a fumble, and a punt. Then you've turned it over since then and got a touchdown, a field goal, and back-to-back touchdowns. So for the Ravens, they've really learned to turn it on as the game has progressed, and maybe the defense clamping down a little better here as the game has gone on.
I've got a question for you. The guy who I've expected to have back-to-back big weeks receiving the football, Jacob Gathright, had an explosive game last week at St. Louis. His first catch of the game, a 72-yard touchdown pass. And Jacob Gathright continues to move up and the Raven record book, but we've really not seen him do much today, 25 on 3 catches so far.
Yeah, because today, right now, the Ravens are really looking at Tanner Zimmerman, right? 5 catches for the big tight end, 104 yards, 2 touchdowns this afternoon, and he's kind of been it. So the Ravens are racing out with Gathright and Todd, and then they're running that seam across the middle for Tanner Zimmerman. And last year against Mid-America, Tanner, 3 catches for 43 yards. So, again, he likes playing against this team from Olathe.
All right, Gathright coming in today with 2,391 receiving yards, and he is looking to move into fourth place, okay? To get to fourth place, he needed 30. He's got 25. So he's 5 yards short of fourth place. Who is in fourth place who he looks to eclipse? Any guesses?
I already know the answer.
Oh, you know the answer. So you're thinking Chargers, right?
Exactly. Corey.
Corey Schrick, the number four all-time leading receiver out of Jefferson County North. Now, BC is going to go to the Wildcat, and I'm going to tell you what, as it's a gain of maybe a yard, maybe no more than that for Jay Sean Todd, who took that snap. Who wrote this book? I mean, did these guys, did they watch some kind of a, you know, some kind of a documentary that you go to the Wildcat and it picks up big yards? Did somebody do it successfully? Because we see time and time again, teams work and morph the backfields and put running backs taking a snap. I don't think in the thousands I've seen one has worked.
You have to go back to the early 2000s with Auburn, and they did it with Cadillac Williams and Ronnie James.
Is that how it worked? Is that what started?
That's where it really started, okay?
All right. Well, so it did work once.
Yes.
All right, second down nine.
It's been 20 years ago.
And here's Witherspoon for another yard or so. Benedictine is still not up to their own 15-yard line. It'll bring up a third down six. Clock ticking along at 6:45 to go and counting in the third quarter.
Moments ago, you were talking about Jacob Gathright. He's looking to catch Corey Schrick in the all-time receiving yards.
Correct.
Corey Schrick was number?
Oh, I'm wanting to say five?
Ten. He was 10, Kyle was 7,
Coppinger was 5.
So you were in the right, JC,
yeah.
Idea, but yes, Corey was 10, Kyle was 7, and Coppinger was 5.
Curtis, third down 6 for the Ravens. The pass over to the left side. It's going to be caught over the shoulder. There he is. It's Gathright to the 30, 35-yard line. First down, Benedictine. That is a 21-yard reception for Jacob. And with that, there you have it. Very timely discussion as he moves into number 4 and the all-time Raven receiving mark. Now Gathright will come out of the game. Zimmerman comes out. Jay Sean comes out. And the Ravens are going to bring in the big receiver package. By big, I mean tall. It's Sanford at 6'4" and Dover at 6'3". So they bring out the smaller, speedy receivers and bring in now those tall, long-armed receivers. First and 10, Benedictine at the 35. One step, drop pass near side. It's going to be out of the reach. And incomplete from Joseph Longafuyana. Another incompletion over here on the near side to Joseph. It was going to go for little to no gain.
Yeah, if he caught it, the free safety was right there. Ethan Pritchard. Pritchard's a guy who had an interception last week, had his hands on a ball earlier in this ball game. Incomplete pass will bring him now a 2nd and 10. They're going to take the tight end out of the ball game. That's going to be Court Madsen, and they're going to run back in LeBron Jackson.
Wara, the running back to the left side of Dooley, trips right. Handoff is going to go to Sean. He'll bounce outside, gets hit, breaks the first, but will not get away from the second defender, but he'll drag him forward for a couple of yards, gaining 2 tough, tough yards where Zach Martinez, a outside linebacker out of Marshall, Missouri, is going to get credit for the stop. 3rd down 7, Benedictine at their own 38. We go inside 5 minutes to play in the third quarter. The game moving along at a much more rapid pace now as we are running the ball and not throwing the ball. I just was talking about, when was the last time you were in Spearville, Kansas, guys? How long has it been? Huh? A minute? A couple of minutes?
It's been a minute, maybe. And so for Benedictine, they're looking now at a 3rd and 7. They're going to run a bunch of trips to the left side. Send a man in motion from right to left. That's going to be Jay Sean, quarterback. Drops back. Now he's going to be pressured out of the pocket, rolling to the left. Now he's going to throw on the run, and that thing's going to go into the sideline, incomplete. Over there, you had a receiver in the vicinity. It was going to be Jay Sean Todd, but an incomplete pass will bring up a 4th down, and we'll see the Ravens punt unit. Cullen Bruner in to put a toe to it. Cullen out there for the 3rd punt of the afternoon. Burner, a 41-yard average on the season. Back deep for Mid-America, it's going to be Cameron Finley. Finley's going to settle in around 4.5 left here in the third quarter. The snap is going to be a fake. It's a snap to the up back. He's looking to the 40, down to the 41. So a gain of 3 on 4th and 6. Well, turnover on downs. They snapped it to the up back, Dalton Witherspoon, but Mid-America had it sniffed out. The defensive end able to drop him after a 3-yard gain, and Mid-America will take over with excellent starting field position.
4:27 to go in the third quarter. Because what these teams right now, what they're looking for, what they're waiting for, is that break, right? A game that's tied. Everybody's got to be kind of careful, and yet you need just one thing to kind of break that log jam. Quarterback is back, throwing a long pass over the middle. It is caught, paid the price, but held onto the football. That was a spectacular catch downfield for Mid-America, and they're going to move the sticks first and 10.
That time, Mid-America was able to find Miles Himes over the middle, and he'll make the catch, move the sticks down inside the 25.
Pioneers move with a little bit of pep in their step.
Luke Lee?
Probably, maybe.
There you go.
Yeah. First down. Again, back to throw. QB goes left side, caught at the 15, hit at the 10, and down right there. It's going to bring up a first and goal, Mid-America. Kyle Rowland may have saved a score with that play on the near side on E.J. Rogers. Now, Rogers comes up. It looks like he's got a little bit of a limp to him, but he may be just decoying everybody because he's so fast. Rogers out of Wetumpka, Alabama. Last week, 7 catches for 70. Now he's got his team first and goal at the 10. Parsons, a quarterback, wraparound handoff, Finley. He goes right, cuts in the middle, down at the 11. Never found an edge as Heath Baker stretches it out over there. Lead block was tied in Robert Menifee, but tell you what, Baker was having none of that. He played off that block and made a very nice tackle.
Yeah, great job right there by Heath Baker, and he's a guy who, we talk about his big plays in the pass game because he's able to make all those sacks and get in the backfield and be disrupted, but he's really good against the run, and that time showed it there.
Here's a lob into the back corner of the end zone, and it's going to go incomplete. Cole Johnson coming in on that play for Benedictine. E.J. Rogers, the intended receiver, deep in the left corner of the end zone. Incomplete. It is now third and goal. Mid-America still at the 12-yard line. 3:05 to go in the third quarter. We're tied at 24. Now, Mid-America, as we've seen already, well within field goal range. But if it goes to fourth down, would they take that, or do they feel like on the road today they must get 7?
No, I think they'd be fine with points to just retake the lead.
Motion left, quarterback back. He's got a man on the right side, doesn't see him. Penalty markers down. There's going to be a hold. The quarterback is up, and he's going to be down at the 4-yard line. This is not a hard decision, right? I mean, of course, you're forcing them into fourth down at the 4-yard line, but if this is a hold, and it is, you see the preliminary indication as they telegraph it over to coach, do they pat? They're going to decline it. Are they?
No, you got to back it up.
Offense, number 58, 10-yard penalty, previous spot, replay, third down.
Yeah, so you're going to back this thing up and make it third and goal at the 22-yard line, so you're still not out of field goal range if you're Mid-America because Hiley has already connected on one field goal from 49, but again, you're trying to back him up here.
Here we go. Quarterback is back on the third down and goal call. He's buried at the 33-yard line. Heath Baker, he got back there, and all Adrian Parsons could do is cover up and try to limit the damage.
Well, and Adrian Parsons is throwing his hands up. He's really upset with himself as he comes off the field because now he's pushed his team back to a, not that you can't hit this field goal, but he's pushed them back to the limits of where they want to be kicking field goals.
Okay, so Trevor Hiley coming out. What did he hit one from a little bit ago?
49.
49.
Yep.
This is going to be 47. And that last one was not exactly a rocket.
Fourth and goal from the 30.
It's down and up. That's not even close.
Yeah.
That looks like something I would have done. That's horrible.
That was a bad snap, and Silas Templeton had to go up and get the snap over his head, and by the time he got the ball down,
no good.
Hiley's kick couldn't fall,
spot,
and so when it's all
first
said
down,
and done, the Ravens are going to take over at the 40.
Yep, and the official just letting us know in the background needed to turn that down, and the ball is going to be placed at the previous spot, the 30-yard line, and Benedictine's offense coming out of the field. The defense bent. But, Gus, they gave up. No points. We're still tied. With 2:07 to go in the third quarter, it is still 24-24. Ravens out over the ball. And Jay Sean's their running back in the backfield. They got Jay Sean taking the snap again. And so he's going to go out of the Wildcat. Motion will go to the left side. Back to throw. Now the lob deep. Looking. Downfield. It's incomplete. So what had happened was they switched it up. That was not Jay Sean going to take the snap. That was going to be Dooley back there, took the snap, but Jay Sean went to his side and then came out of the backfield to pass a little too long. Second and 10. The Ravens looking for that quick strike right there. Trying to take advantage of the emotion on the turnover on fourth down's missed field goal. Second down, 10. Benedictine still at their own 30-yard line. The game's still tied. 24-24. Mid-America's putting nothing on the board in the second half after jumping out to that big lead early. Here's a feed to the left side, and Wara picks up 3, maybe 4 yards. No more than that. It'll leave a third down, 6 for the Raven offense. We go inside 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. And
possessions are starting to slow down here in the second half, right? These two offenses are taking a little time for Mid-America. This is going to be their third possession. For Benedictine, this will be their third possession of the second half.
So many fans. It's such a great crowd here. It's good to see former Ravens coming up. And they got to report in. It's required. Third down, 5 at the 35-yard line. Snap is back. Deep drop. Quarterback's in trouble. Dooley's going to throw it. He found a man open and spinning. It's Zimmerman. He'll get the first down. What a crazy and spectacular play for BC as Jackson Dooley found himself with a defender in his hip pocket instantly. He was just able to turn, toss the ball kind of toward where he saw Zimmerman, who made a remarkable catch, and then as he's falling out of bounds, leans forward and picks it up.
Well, that was the thing, is Tanner understood where he needed to get, extends the football out, picks up the first down right there.
Ravens on a first down carry, outside of the 40, cutting back into the 45. 5 tough yards on a nice run, first to the outside and then into the middle for Dalton Witherspoon.
About 4 seconds separate the game clock from the play clock, so the Ravens will have to run one more play here in this third quarter.
Second down for the Ravens and 5 at their own 45-yard line. We have not had a game, I don't think, in a while where maybe since we were Grayson for the fourth quarter was so big as this fourth quarter is going to be here today. From the 45, second down, play clock at 10, and a handoff is going to go to Wara. He'll try getting outside, breaks 3 from the first tackle, and a couple of more defenders will descend on him. He'll gain 3 more. It is third down at 2 as the third quarter comes to an end. We got a great fourth quarter coming up. Don't go away. After 3 in Atchison, it's Benedictine 24, Mid-America 24.
This is KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, powered by MSC Radio and found online at mscnews.net.
You thirsty?
I sure am.
Quench your thirst for an ice-cold beer or beverage at High Voltage Bar and Dance in downtown Atchison.
We have the cheapest and coldest selection of liquor and brews to scratch that itch.
Enjoy 2 floors of music and entertainment.
Hit the dance floor to live music on weekends and line dancing and karaoke on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
It's electric at High Voltage. See you this afternoon or evening if you're feeling right from 4 p.m. to past midnight.
Must be 21 and over. High Voltage Bar and Dance, 711 Commercial Street.
Hey, it's so good to have you along with us here this afternoon on CARE Radio, where the Benedictine Ravens are wrapping up the regular season 2023 and looking for their 9th win of the year against a Mid-America team who's wrapping up the regular season in 2023, and they're looking for their 9th win of the season. The winner of this one, the champion of the Heart South. It is Benedictine football, and we'll begin the fourth quarter as the Ravens are 3rd down and 2 at their own 48-yard line. It's 24-24 here in Atchison, Kansas, under overcast skies, mid-50s here on a mid-November Saturday afternoon. Sophomore quarterback Jackson Dooley out of Lawrence, Kansas, takes the snap, hands off, running back, cuts back in the middle, and that was a nice run by Sean Wara. He found the seam, cut back in, and picks up the first down. He needed 2, got 3 or 4, and that's exactly the plan is. Elias Carson, again, coming up from that strong safety where so many of those Mid-America tackles come. 1st and 10 Ravens, now they're across midfield and at the Pioneer 48-yard line. The first team that scores in the fourth quarter is going to have a huge boost. And points have been hard to come by here in the second half. Jackson Dooley gets the pass away, and as it's going to be taken by Wara, he is tackled and going to be brought down to the backfield by Eli St. Just. And it will be a loss of 5, 6, 7 yards, loss of 7 back to their own 45-yard line for Benedictine, and that leaves them with an unenviable second down and 17. And a clock is rolling along. We're at 14 minutes to go in the game.
This afternoon, Benedictine 53 plays for 288 yards for Mid-America, 49 for 319.
They're good to see Jay Sean get a little look at one here. Quarterback is back. He's throwing over the middle, and it's incomplete. He was looking downfield for big receiver LeBron Jackson, but I think LeBron thought the ball was coming right side. It kind of went left side, and as he twisted and tried to come around, there was just no catching that thing, and it'll bring up now a third down, 17 for the Ravens.
This afternoon, the Ravens have converted at a pretty nice clip. They are 7 of 12 on third downs for 58%, and if you're Mid-America, the guy just coming into the ball game for Benedictine is who you've got to keep an eye on, and that's Tanner Zimmerman.
Yep, Harry Balke will check out. And again, I'm still waiting for Jay Sean to have a big play today. Kind of getting him back into the rotation as he's recovered from an injury and seems to be back in very good shape. Back to throw is Dooley. Third down and really long. He's chased. There's a hold, no penalty, and the ball is going to be thrown away. It's going to go out of bounds and incomplete as Dooley's on the ground back inside the 30-yard line. So the Ravens started to move the ball and then stumbled, ending up with a fourth down now at 17, and they're going to be forced to use the skills of Cullen Bruner and try to get some distance here and turn the field.
Last time they lined up to punt the football away, they faked it. This time, I don't think that's going to be such an issue. When's the last time you saw two fake punts in a day?
You don't see them in a season, usually, two fake punts. Finley's back at his own 10-yard line to return this thing for the Pioneers. Ravens advance, and there's a kick. It's an okay kick. It's going to bounce at the 20, 15, 10, and down 8, 7, 6. Hey, what he gets is not a fabulous kick. This is not that textbook one that turns over and flies 70 yards in the air. What it is one that goes 35 yards, lands in front of the return man who can't run up to it, and man, with the correct spin on it, it takes a big Benedictine bounce, keeps hopping and rolling, and ultimately that thing is going to go down to the 6-yard line. It is 1st and 10, Mid-America. They got a lot of green in front of them, but wait a minute. We've already seen them with a 90-plus yard touchdown play today.
Yeah, they're saying the last time we were down in this part of our own field, we scored on one play.
Adrian Parsons, 1st and 10, standing at the goal line, takes a snap, hands it off, and that's a 1-yard gain into the left side of the line. Heath Baker having another just stellar game, the big guy out of Atchison, Kansas.
Yeah, and for Heath Baker, he's really turning it on here as the game is going on and we're getting later into the contest. It'll now bring up a 2nd and 8 for Mid-America. But, again, 13 minutes left in this contest. Both teams have all three of their timeouts. But points have been at a premium here in this second half.
Parsons will send a man in motion to the right side. But play action, pass coming out of the backfield. And it's going to be caught by E.J. Rogers across the way. Stopped well short of the first down. Picks up about 7, bringing up a 3rd down and 3 for the Pioneers. 12:45 to go. Mid-America still inside the room, 15-yard line at the 13. 3rd down, 3. Receiver wide to the near side is Arlandis Mitchell. Remember him, he's very, very good. They'll fill a slot to the left. They don't need much here, 3rd down, 3. And this time they will hand off to the sweep man. He gets a lead block, will turn the corner and be chopped down, but he's going to have the 1st down.
He's not going to have much room to spare, but just enough coming over there to make the hit for the Ravens. You're going to have, I believe it's going to be, you got Jackson?
I got Carson.
Carson, yeah. Carson Anderson did a great job coming from the backside. Jackson Hoskins was there. And when it was all said and done, Mid-America, though, able to move the sticks on 3rd down.
With just enough, it's 1st and 10, Pioneers. They're throwing out 17-yard line. Is that little sun peeking out? Maybe just a little bit. 1st down. QB back to throw. Throws right. Has his man caught and tackled at the 24-yard line. He's leaning forward, trying to move forward, and in holding him by the leg and dragging him back is Javai Blomquist. Big old lineman Blaine Blevins runs over and bumps Javis, says, quit pulling on the leg of my running back. I thought there was going to be something go south there, but the problem for Javis, I mean, Javis not going to take any stuff, but he's 5'9", 180. Blevins is 6-something at 3-something. Second down 7. Second down 3 after a gain of 7. Second down 3, Mid-America. Pioneers now throwing 24-yard line. They're going to take a world of time. They're in no hurry whatever with 11 minutes to go in the game, and we're tied at 24. All eyes in a conference, even though all games started at 1 o'clock today like this one, pass over the middle, and again, those passes are undefendable as Parsons hits a diving and skidding a receiver, Miles Himes. Luke Kaplinger's right there, but Gus, the receiver is diving to the ground. It catches it in his midsection, kind of curled up inches from the turf.
Yep, there's nothing you can do as a defender, and that time a complete pass will pick up another first down.
Mid-America moving the ball now to their own 39-yard line. It is first and 10. This time the handoff to the running back and trying to stretch it forward, but Caleb Bryant's only going to find a yard in all of that up to the 40.
That time Joe Burke was able to make the stop on the play. Now we're going to see back into the ball game Isaac Anderson, and also across that defensive front, you're going to get Eric Chavez, the 6'3" junior of Lancaster, California.
Eric is a another big guy out there for the Benedictine defensive front. Second down 9. They'll shift the tight end from right side to left as Jacob Mauser. QB's back, looks right, throws right. He's got his man wide open again. Runs over to the near sideline and will be bumped out of bounds just short of the first down marker. You've got Javai over here, and Benedictine's also going to be covered with Kyle Rowland.
So they're going to stay just a little short. It's going to bring up now a 3rd and 1 this afternoon. Mid-America, 2 of 9 on third down opportunities. He's going to have twins to the left, one to the right. Sends the tight end in motion going from right to left. Quarterback takes the snap. He'll turn around, hand it off to his running back. He's at the 50, the 45, to the 40, 35, breaks another tackle to the 30, 25, and bounced out of bounds right there. Javai Blomquist saving a touchdown is that time. It was just a quick handoff to Caleb Bryant going from left to right. Got a nice little block. How about this? Caleb Brassbeek, 11 carries, that's not a wrong number. 11 carries for 1 yard and a touchdown. That time a huge run, and it'll be giving Mid-America another first down.
He was just running over defenders. First and 10. Mid-America just shy of the Raven 25-yard line. They're, again, already in field goal range. But last time they were this deep in Raven territory, they ran into some penalty trouble and pushed themselves out of range. QB's back. Going for his man. He's got him open in the end zone. Broken up downfield. That was a nice play by Blue Kaplinger.
Yeah, Blue Kaplinger was very reminiscent of a play we saw last night. But
exactly.
Pass interference.
Exactly.
Blue, as he was running down the field, throws both hands up, tried to force the receiver to find the football over the top of him. He couldn't. Great job right there by the senior out of Lewisburg, Kansas.
And the senior on senior day. Making a big, big play right there. 8.5 to go in the game. Mid-America moving the ball. It's tied at 24. Back to throw again to the quarterback. Looking downfield and into the back of the end zone is a caught touchdown, Mid-America. Paul St. Louis with the catch. And Raven, defensive secondary, giving up the score. Mid-America goes back in front by 6.
That time a great job by Paul St. Louis as he looked to the inside, realized the ball was on the outside, was able to spin around, make a catch with a defender right in his hip pocket.
PAT coming up here. Looking for that extra point, and he's been good today, Trevor Hiley. Looking to put Mid-America up by 7. He's going to do it, and we're going to take a timeout. 8:31 to go in the ballgame. Pioneers 31, Ravens 24.
Did you know Community Banking Week is April 24th through the 28th? Union State Bank wants to recognize the value of community banks during this time. Community banks put local capital to work within the community, provide employment for local residents, and help invest locally through loans for houses, businesses, and agriculture. The Union State Bank team is proud to serve you as your local community bank. Come into any of their 8 branches and get a gourmet cookie and a small gift. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, NMLS number 654946.
Red America able to move the ball downfield that time. And Gus, unlike the previous series where they were stopped by their own errors and ultimately penalties that pushed them back out of range, that time Pioneers were able to convert and go up by a touchdown with 8.5 minutes to go in the game. It's a 31-24 Pioneer lead.
Talk about Adrian Parsons today. He is 22 of 33 passing for 379 yards and 3 touchdowns. We were talking there in the break, and you probably caught a little bit of it as we came back, and, you know, asking, is that line that good? Well, the line is sufficient, okay? Let's put it that way. But Adrian Parsons just gets rid of the ball so quickly that there's no chance to get back there and get him on a sack unless you cover up everybody right away. His idea is he's got speedy receivers. I'm going to take 1-2, let go of the ball, throw it out there, and allow my guys to run under it. If they do, great. If they don't, the defender isn't fast enough to get down there and make the catch. So, again, you're just guessing, and that's why he's missing on 11 of them. But, again, none of them have had a shot to be intercepted.
Now, my question for you is that Jackson Dooley on a quick return in the second row on the near side?
It's not. It is Joseph Abrams, a freshman linebacker out of Tomball High School by homeschool.
Too many 15s. Here goes the Mid-America kick, and it is away, in over in, and again, not terribly deep. Fielded by the Ravens at the 16-yard line. 25, and at the 30, spinning is going to be Todd, and he'll get across the 35. They'll mark him down around the 37-yard line. First and 10 of Benedictine. Nice return for Jay Sean Todd out of Santa Clarita, California.
One of the playoff teams has, you know, already had their ticket punched, but goes ahead and solidifies their position today. Kaiser wins 44-13.
Well, congratulations to those Seahawks. And Benedictine would like to follow suit and come away with a W here today and take any question out of their future. And it's a first and 10 Ravens at their own 38. Outside Witherspoon, 40, bounces 50, cuts around the outside, 40, and finally ridden out of bounds along the near side by Jacob Techt. But that was a splendid run by Dalton Witherspoon. He starts in the middle. Well, you talked about how he makes those wide cuts. Well, that time the feet stayed, and he was able to weave his way down the field. Ravens are down to the 40-yard line of Mid-America.
For Dalton, that's going to be his longest carry of the day. He's now up to 82 rushing yards. That was a 32-yard carry.
First and 10, Benedictine. Again, two to the right and one to the left. Back to throw, Dooley. Bounces right, throws to a short man who comes back and fails to make the catch. So there's the difference between Mid-America, whose guys come back and make that catch, and Benedictine, where Cameron Dover came back but failed.
Yeah, that time Cameron just came back and wasn't able to haul it in. I mean, was it a little bit of a low pass? Yes, but that's the same pass as Mid-America receivers have made all day, that little sliding catch right on the hip and able to lock it away. Now the Ravens are going to send trips to the right. You're going to have out wide will be Jacob Gathright. Next one in is Jay Sean, and then you've got Joseph.
Yep. Second down, 10, Benedictine. This time it'll be a running play. Straight ahead. Bouncing outside, 40, 35. Left side, 30. Dropping his shoulder and powering his way inside the 20-yard line. Witherspoon running with some attitude. And Matthew Georgie makes the tackle. But Witherspoon just manhandles his way down the field. He's just kind of chucking tacklers.
Mom's pretty happy with that run.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure she is.
You know, she's gotten that seat for every game this year.
I'm tickled to death. The way they're able to be playing at a winter to change her routine at all. Keep it all the same. Three sons on this team. So that's the Witherspoon's a great, great Raven family. First and 10, just inside the 20-yard line. The pass to the running back out of the backfield was miserable and badly thrown. It's going to be incomplete, fully uncatchable. It'll bring up a second down. Second and 10. The pass over to the right side. I mean, they were looking for Witherspoon out of the backfield, but I'm not sure Zimmerman could have caught that with his additional height and long reach. BC is going to send Matthew Sanford over there. Matthew made that spectacular catch down at Baker a couple weeks ago.
Here in a couple hours, there's probably not anybody in the gym that's going to jump high enough to catch that one.
Maybe not. We're going to find out. Raven basketball coming up here at 5 o'clock on CARE. Second down, 10 from the 20. Pass over to the right side, and again, not thrown well. And out of the reach of Sanford, and incomplete.
So for the Ravens, they're now looking at a third and 10 with 7:12 left in the ballgame. And again, you're getting late enough in the contest that you can't be coming up empty on possessions. You can't come away trading touchdowns for field goals.
Last three passes have been uncatchable, whether short or long or wide, in that order on the last three. And now the Ravens face a big third down 10. Got to come up with points and really need seven on this possession. Inside the 20-yard line. Again, Dooley's back to throw. Rolls right. Now he's going to throw on the run. And that time, that was a good pass that was just botched by LeBron Jackson, hitting squarely in the hands. And here's the deal. The Raven passing game, the Ravens go back to it. Pass after pass after pass. But you notice when they picked up the first down, they ran the football.
Yeah, and now Jackson Dooley's numbers have gone down here in the second half. He's now 17 of 32 passing, 190 yards, three touchdowns. But that time, LeBron Jackson just missed what was going to be about a first down.
Balky, the field goal from 36 is blocked. It is no good. And the Ravens come up empty. Elias Carson out of Aquinas High School gets a hand on it. And Mid-America has the lead. They have the ball. And Gus, in all candor, with only 7 minutes to play, they've got the momentum.
Yeah, and for Mid-America right now, you're going to go ahead. The officials are telling us that the ball is going to be placed at the spot of the down. But for Mid-America, they've had the momentum here in the second half. Like that last possession where they scored a touchdown, that was a possession that started back at their own 6-yard line. They just took plenty of time, walked their way down the field, and now for the fourth time here in the second half, they're going to have the football, and the advantage is leading in this ball game by a touchdown.
It's going to be first and 10, Mid-America at their own 20-yard line. And again, only 7 minutes to play in the game. Raven defense is going to have to come up big. Mid-America is going to be very, very willing to use some time off the clock, and they'll hand off to the running back toward that end. He'll go for a yard, but Gus, right now, as important as that yard is the half a minute it takes off the clock.
Exactly. Coming up, making the stop, Jared Heron right there is. Now you're really starting to see that sun poke between the clouds, and seeing some really long shadows out on that field.
Second down 10 from the Mid-America 20 for the Pioneers. Ravens go to that big four-man defensive front. Mid-America is going to have Sean Cherry to the right side of quarterback Adrian Parsons. Cherry stays in the block. Parsons goes back to throw, and he's launching one deep. He's got a man open downfield, caught over the shoulder. And again, a huge catch downfield as coverage by Kyle Rowland was beaten by E.J. Rogers, and they'll move that ball 50 yards.
Now you're asking a lot of your defense, right? The defense is going to have to pick up the offense right here because now Mid-America is already nearing field goal range. This ball is at the 35. There's 6:14, and can I tell you, the Ravens don't have enough time to score twice right now.
No. And again, it's been a long time since they've scored any in this game. First and 10, Mid-America at the 35-yard line. 6 minutes to go.
Now we're going
to
see a penalty marker. Got a receiver, maybe?
False start. Offense, number 9. Yeah. 5-yard penalty remains. First down.
The official over there on the far sideline came racing in. You figure that the receiver on the near side, or the far side, got off, and he sure did. So, for Mid-America, they're backed up now to their own, or to the Benedictine 40-yard line. Just under 6 minutes to play.
Wide to the right side is going to be Orlandis Mitchell and Miles Himes. Running back Sean Cherry in the backfield with Adrian Parsons. They'll shift the wingman over to the left side. It's going to be Jacob Mauser, and the QB will hand off. Running back will go straight ahead, and he's going to pick up a yard or two, but again, less important than the yard is the next 40 seconds. It melts off the clock. And for Benedictine, every second is precious. BC will have a full complement of timeouts remaining, but now with 5:20 to go, this ball does not get snapped until, we're well under 5 minutes.
Now, the big thing for the Ravens is they need to keep Mid-America right about here, where you're just a little too far to kick a field goal, and force them into a punt versus the chance of them kicking a field goal and getting up 10.
Motion over to the left side. That is Mauser. He's over there to block on the wing. They will be back to throw. Fires one to the opposite side of the field, caught at the 35 and chopped down at the 30. Well short of the first down. Did they stop the clock? No. They're saying the clock keeps rolling. And now at the 30-yard line, Mid-America looks at a, is this going to be third down? It is. It'll be third down and 5. And now we're going to be down inside probably right at 4 minutes to go.
A little surprised to see the Ravens aren't going to bring in their pass rushers on this third down, leave the base defense out. A sack right here would be huge.
Different running back, little guy, probably receiver, is in the game for Parsons at the running back spot. Quarterback's moving him over a little bit, readjusting his alignment in the backfield. It is a third down, 5. Mid-America, big down for them. Quarterback is back to throw. Chased out, rolling. Now he's going to run with it. He's going to pick up the first down. No, he's not. He got caught from behind. Jagger Blueba. Jagger just showed incredible speed. Track Parsons down from behind, and I thought he was going to outrun him. Jagger impressed me with that defensive run.
Jagger showed awesome closing speed. Now for Mid-America, they're kind of in no man's land. They're going to bring the offense out, and I heard that too. They're going to bring the offense over to the sideline. Think about this for a minute. I think they're just going to burn this clock down and then utilize the timeout.
13, 12, 11 seconds on the play clock. We're going to be taking this thing down to around 3:20 to go in the game when Mid-America decides what to do. 5-4, 3-2, and they're going to take the timeout with 1 second on the play clock. Look at Adrian Parsons. Is he limping a little bit, too, as he was kind of walking over there?
A little bit, and I think some of that, too, is right where Jagger caught him from behind, and you get caught from behind and pulled down, it takes you a second to just kind of...
It's their first charge.
You kind of hyperextend that leg just a little bit. Okay.
Now what do you do? Through Mid-America. You kick this thing? I do.
30, you're at 40 and 7. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he hit from 49. Now, I know it was going to the other end zone. There is maybe a little bit of a breeze in
his face. Not as much as it was.
If I'm in America, I'd probably try to kick this because, again, if I get up 2 scores with 3.5,
it's done.
It may be just enough to get me over on this game. So if I'm in America, I probably figure that it's the last game of the year. I've got nothing to lose by trying to kick this field goal.
Don't forget, coming up on Care Radio, when we're done with football, we're going to bring you some hoops. And we'll be down at the Noah Gymnasium with head coach Ryan Moody and the Benedictine guys as they're at home this evening at 5 o'clock tip-off. So we encourage you to join us here on Care Radio for Raven men's basketball. Lady Ravens, by the way, if you're asking, well, why aren't you doing them? Well, they're all the way up in Sioux City, Iowa, as they are at Morningside at 5 o'clock. So can't quite make it up there after the football game, but we can make it down to the guys' game, which is right down the street here. Long timeout utilized by Mid-America, and this is a pivotal play in the game. And for the Pioneers, even if you do not successfully kick the field goal, you're going to force Benedicta to score a touchdown. And, you know, the Ravens haven't had a lot of luck with that here lately.
They've only had one touchdown here in the second half. It was that opening possession where they were able to just march down the field, hit Tanner Zimmerman on a 14-yard touchdown strike. So here we go. You know, send out the field goal unit.
And here comes Trevor Hiley. It will be from 47. Long count, the snap, they're going to fake it, and there's penalty markers everywhere.
False start.
They snapped it back, and I was trying to look
now,
on my
the
list.
The Pioneers are saying this against the Ravens.
BC's pointing the other way.
I thought I saw the right guard kind of lift himself a little bit before that ball was snapped. And it is against Pioneers.
The snap, false start. Offense, number 78, 5-yard penalty, remains, fourth down.
I thought it was that right guard over there. And when you're 6'3", 300 pounds, and you give a little bit of a body shift, it's going to be caught. Now, Mid-America was faking that field goal. The snapper was going to shovel it to a guy running across the field, and he was going to pick up the first down.
The game clock operator, please put 3-2-5. 3-2-5.
So we're going to put 2 more seconds out on the clock, and now Mid-America going to change their mind. They're going to go send out the punt unit. The Ravens are going to go on a safe return, expecting that Mid-America maybe fakes the punt again.
And Grant Pella stands at the 50-yard line where he's going to kick this football. We're down, to, again, you heard the officials, 3:25 to go in the game. There is very little time for the Ravens. The snap is absolutely perfect, and the boot is angling toward the far sideline, and it goes out. It hits the kick coverage guy, and it's going to be down. That thing was going to bounce inside the 10, maybe to the 5, but it'll be down at the 12-yard line. That was a great punt, and then it just bounded into Miles Hines down there. So for Benedictine, here's the deal. Long way to go and no time to get there. I think that was a country music song years ago.
So for the Ravens, they do have all three timeouts. 3 minutes.
On the field with the kick was first touched at the 12-yard line. Benedictine will have the ball, first and 10 from the 12.
So Benedictine trailing by 7, 3:18 left in the contest. The Ravens, with all three of their timeouts, Mid-America can stop it twice if they feel the need. But as you heard the official, Ravens going to have it at their own 12-yard line.
Here comes Benedictine and quarterback Jackson Dooley. Dalton Witherspoon with him in the backfield. The pass will go to Dalton. He'll take it at the 15. Dalton will go to the 25. Dalton will go to the 30 and up to the 34-yard line. So Benedictine is going to pick up, a quick 22 yards on that quick hitter.
Now the Ravens kind of going at a up-tempo. Still got 3 minutes, but they're utilizing time like they're in the 2 minutes.
Looking for a Gathright and or Jay Sean catch here. First and 10. To 33. Longo Fuyana is still back in the game. He's going to go motion to the right side. QB is going to be back to throw. Chased out. Gets it away. Witherspoon out of the backfield. Stumbles over nothing. And it's going to go down after a couple 3 yards.
That time John Brown over there to make the stop. And Ravens going to call a timeout?
It would appear so. We're going to take a timeout with them. Timeout of the field. We're at 2:35 to go in the game. It is Benedictine trailing Mid-America 31-24.
Hi, this is Carly with BNP Propane. At BNP Propane, we want you to experience the utmost safety and climate friendliness with propane. Its clean nature minimizes emissions, ensuring a greener planet. Discover the versatility of propane in outdoor fire pits, tiki torches, grills, and generators, making every outdoor moment special. Choose BNP Propane for a sustainable lifestyle and unforgettable outdoor experiences. Call us at 785-364-3711 to learn more about how we can help you enjoy the great outdoors.
We can hear Wilcox Stadium on the Benedictine College campus in Atchison, Kansas, as the Ravens now utilize their first timeout of the second half. And for Benedictine, times are dire. The Ravens, with only 2:35 to go in the game, trail 31-24. They must score a touchdown and a PAT to draw to a tie in this game here. Final regular season game of the year, the game for the title of the conference, and a game, frankly, for the postseason.
We've had a weather delay this year.
Yeah.
We've had crazy endings. We haven't had an overtime yet, have we?
We have not.
So,
well, the Ravens would take one right this minute. I would take one right this minute. Second down, 6. Dooley rolling right. Throws on the run. He's got his man. That's going to be Joseph with a catch at the 45 down to the 43-yard line. And Benedictine advances the sticks once again. The catch by Lagofuyana, the redshirt freshman from Phoenix.
Yeah, and for Joseph, that's going to be his second reception of the afternoon. And for Benedictine, quickly up over the football with 2:10 left.
First down call. Back to throw. They'll fire one into the middle, and it was caught and dropped in it out of the hands of Zimmerman. Jacob Techt is the coverage guy. Now, again, the Ravens have got to love that matchup. Zimmerman, 6'4", the defender, 5'11". That's the kind of numbers game that you're wanting to see and hoping to play. 2:07 to go. Two timeouts in your pocket, and the Ravens with the ball down a touchdown. Dooley does not hand off, gets it over to Jay Sean, who dashes out of bounds along the near sideline. Anthony Sow, the quarterback, bumps him out of play. The beauty of that play is it took very little time. The clock stopped. It advanced to the chains. Those are plays that the Ravens need on this series. But now for Benedictine, the clock is rolling again at 1:50 to go, and it is first and 10 at the 28-yard line. Again, the Ravens must go into the end zone. And toward that end, the throw to the end zone is broken up at the goal line.
sigh of relief right there. Jacob Gathright was the intended receiver. The ball was underthrown just a little bit, and Gathright climbs over Maxwell Weber to knock that football away. Maxwell, a junior cornerback out of St. Louis by Sumner High School. Anyway, two interceptions on the season. He was looking to cap this game right there. Nice knock away by Gathright.
It's a second down, 10 Ravens. BC going from right to left here in this final drive of the regular part of the game. 25, down to the 20, down to the 15-yard line. Benedictine's Dalton Witherspoon. They move the chains again down to the 15. Ravens are threatening. If you're a Mid-America fan, you're getting a little nervous now. As BC moving the ball with a minute 34, minute 33, minute 32. Quarterback is back to throw. Chasing, running. Penalty markers down to the back of the end zone. That's going to be an interference on the defender.
Yeah, you got to think there's a holding down there as they just aren't going to let Jayshon Todd beat him right there.
No, and you don't want to do that. I'm sure Coach said, don't let that happen. And they didn't. So Jayshon got tangled up with the defender around the five. Now we'll allow the officials to do what they do. In
single
our
substitution. Defense, 12 men on the field. 5-yard penalty, previous spot. Replay, first down.
Okay. That explains how you had such good coverage on Jayshon over here on the near side of the field.
Minute 27 to go. It's first and five. Ravens at the 10-yard line. Who do you look for? Who is you got to have the guy.
TZ.
Who is your guy to punch that in?
TZ.
They're going to give it to Witherspoon. Gets a yard. Tries it straight up the gut for one.
I think you got to look for Tanner Zimmerman on that little bit of a seam route that he's had all afternoon. And already, Zimmerman's got two touchdowns. I think you hit him right here for his third of the afternoon.
Down to a minute 9 to go. Ravens on a second down, 4 at the 9-yard line. Back to throw. Defeat out of the backfield. And to the left side, Witherspoon inside the 5, down to the 3-yard line. First and goal, Benedictine at the 3. 1 minute exactly.
Now my game plan changes. This ball should see Dalton Witherspoon's hands for 3 consecutive plays if need be, right?
Okay, how far ahead do you think, Coach? If you score, what do?
You kick the PAT.
Okay.
Now, if we were on the road, I would say, okay, you can go for 2.
What if there's a penalty?
Now, if there's a penalty, well, yeah, I would probably
okay.
go for 2.
Okay, here we go. Right now, though, the business at hand is first and goal, 3 yards away for the Ravens. Quarterback is going to roll. He's going to throw. He's going to score. Touchdown, Ravens! The catch on the right flat made by Benedictine. And is that Joseph over there?
Yep.
Lagafuiana with the catch, and BC is within one.
Lagafuiana gets his third touchdown reception of the season. Now Benedictine looking to tie it up with 56 seconds left here. And it will be Harry Balke.
No pressure, Harry. Right? It'll be held by Dooley. Snap, Zach Philippi. Down and up, and we're deadlocked. It's time out of the field. It's tied in Atchison. We've got 56 seconds to go in regulation. Benedictine 31, Mid-America 31.
Hi, this is Dr. Carrie Cowan with Atchison Animal Clinic. Atchison Animal Clinic has been committed to providing veterinary services to Atchison and the surrounding areas for over 75 years, and our commitment has never been stronger. Offering same-day sick appointments and happily accepting new clients, we pride ourselves on being ready and available to service your veterinary needs when you need us. Atchison Animal Clinic, where service, satisfaction, and animal health meet.
Set the stage for you a little bit here from Wilcox Stadium on the Benedictine campus in Atchison, Kansas, as the Ravens have just driven the length of the field, scored a touchdown, and tied the game with less than a minute to play. 31-31, 56 seconds left, and Benedictine will be kicking away to Mid-America, who is on the road this afternoon. Each team, 2 timeouts remaining. Mid-America's kicker has hit a long field goal already today, so they only have to get the ball down around the 30, maybe 35-yard line. And they have thrown the ball so well today. Here's a short kick, bounding, picked up at the 10. In the middle of the field, it will go to the 25, and that's a huge return across the 35-yard line. That was a lot of yards for Mid-America, shortening the distance which they have to travel. First and 10, Pioneers. So what defense ever needed to come up with a TO? Here we are.
Yeah, what's the target line? 35?
Yeah,
I think
for me it's 35.
Yeah, I think you would let him kick a 52-yarder, right? He was good from 49. I know there's a slight breeze in his face right now because that was going to the north. They're now moving to the south. But, again, I think that if you get to the 35, 37-yard line, you'd kick this thing.
Again, remember that Mid-America is undefeated in games decided by a touchdown or less. Here's a pass into the left flat, caught behind the line of scrimmage, and running upfield, picking up about 5 yards before he shoved out of bounds across the way.
Jagger blue ball over there on the stop for the Ravens, but not before Mid-America able to get the ball all the way out to the 43-yard line. They're going to step out of bounds, stop the clock. Now, the Pioneers do have two timeouts in their pocket.
45 seconds left, second down, 5. Again, Parsons is back to throw. Chased, hit, throws the ball, and it is incomplete. Two Ravens way back there. Parsons looking at the official like, did they rough me? He says, heck no, Isaac Anderson and Heath Baker. They know their way around the backfield back there chasing those quarterbacks.
Yeah, and they did a great job right there just going after Parsons. He is
hurt.
He's dinged up, especially it started when Jagger caught him on that big third down. Ravens going to bring in Cole Johnson, their pass rush specialist, on third down.
Don't think he's injured, but I think he's hurt a little bit. Third down and 5. And a snap, did we get a timeout or something? Because
yeah, I think the Pioneers burned their second timeout.
And Adrian Parsons.
Mid-America, Nazarene. This is our second charge. Timeout of the half.
We're going to hang on to it right here, Joseph. As Pioneer quarterback Adrian Parsons goes off the field, he is literally going off hopping and not putting any weight on his left foot. He's hopping on his right foot as he leaves the field. The backup quarterback is a young man from Helias Catholic High School.
Yeah, Drew Miller's the guy who doesn't play much, and they would prefer not to play him today.
6'3" freshman.
Operator, please put 40.3. 40.3, please.
Okay. We're going to put 8/10 of a second on the clock.
We are very precise here at Wilcox Stadium.
8/10 is big in basketball. I'm not really sure that I've seen it become an issue in football. But the other thing that the Pioneers have to watch out for is this third down. If they don't get it, the Ravens will burn their second timeout and have a shot to get the football back with 40 seconds left. And again, I think it's the same thing for the Ravens. You would let Harry Balke cut loose on a 40-yard, 50-yard field goal at the end of the game if you needed.
However, you have to understand that Benedictine has lost once this year on a 52-yard field goal. They lost once last year up in Des Moines on a 52-yard field goal. And so at the 35-yard line, you're talking about another 52-yard field goal. Ravens' track record against those is not so hot.
So here we go. Mid-America with the football. It's going to be 3rd and 5.
At the Pioneer 43. That's the line of scrimmage. Parsons does stay in, but you know his mobility's got to be damaged. He's back to throw, launching one downfield. He's got his man and makes the catch. Takes the downfield. They're in field goal range. And again, the Ravens' defensive secondary gets beaten.
Yeah, that time it was double coverage, right? And great job by E.J. Rogers, the number 2 receiver on this team, as he just showed out on that play, able to catch it on the far sideline, stop the clock with 34 seconds now. Mid-America's got it. 1st and 10 at the Benedictine 17. So they're looking at, what, like a 34-yard field goal?
Yeah, this is very makeable for them. 34 seconds to go in regulation. Parsons takes a snap, hands off on the jet sweep, coming to the near side, looking for the edge. They're not going to get there, and down it'll go around the 15-yard line. They're going to say he falls forward, stays in play at the 13. We're at 24 seconds to go.
Now, the weird thing about that was, as the ball carrier, Adonis Mitchell, got to the sideline, he made sure to get down in the field of play to keep that clock going, and Coach Paul Hansen says, that's not what I wanted.
So Mid-America, this is a little dicey now at 24. If you run another play
and
you get tackled in the field of play, you know, you're going to have to really hustle up to get the kick unit out there and get everything, you know, all of those wheels in motion.
Well, and the other problem is, especially right now, if you get a false start, that is a 10-second runoff right now because again, you don't have a timeout to go ahead and save that 10-second runoff. So, again, a handful of issues, I think, with calling that timeout right there.
25 seconds to play. It's 31-31. But Mid-America, after Benedictine drove down the field to tie the game, Mid-America on the legs of a long kick return and then a subsequent long pass play, they are in business. So we'll see what they decide to do here. Now, with no timeouts remaining, it is going to bring up a second down six at the Raven 13-yard line. And again, you're talking only a 30-yard field goal here. This is chip shot kind of range. And limping quarterback Adrian Parsons has brought his tiny running back, Cameron Findlay, into the game. QB is going to be back. Goes for the end zone. He's got his man. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Mid-America. How about that? The Ravens expected the run. They didn't get it. Pioneers. And Mank goes up with 21 seconds to play, 37-31.
That time, just a pass over the middle, and it was E.J. Rogers. He caught it and ran into the uprights as he goes out the back of the end zone. And Benedictine, trailing 37-31. They've got still two timeouts, but again, you're going to need a touchdown here.
Here comes the P.A.T., Hiley, the kicker. Templeman, the holder, on its way. Good. Taking a timeout, Joseph. We're down to 21 seconds to go in the ball game. Mid-America in the catbird seat. Pioneers 38, Ravens 31.
Ta-da! For our next trick, Taco John's will turn your dollar into deliciousness with our new BOGO for a Buck menu. Buy an item from our BOGO menu and presto taco. Cook a tasty taco bravo for just a buck. A la Carrito. There, now it's a classic meat and potato burrito for a buck. That's one talented dollar. Try this new BOGO for a Buck menu trick for yourself at your nearest Taco John's. Download our app, earn free food.
Mid-America, after having Benedictine tie them, moves the length of the field in 35 seconds and scores on the pass from Adrian Parsons to Miles Himes and goes up 38-31 with 21 seconds left. For Benedictine, you know, the job is pretty clear. You got to go the length of the field and you got to score. And you got to do it in 20 seconds. Onside kick being chased. Nobody covers it up. And finally, at the last minute, somebody decides it's probably a pretty good idea to grab that football. And Tanner Zimmerman goes back and covers it. And the Ravens are going to have to go almost 70 yards. Now down at 21 seconds. And again, they do have two timeouts.
Yeah, but if I'm Mid-America, I'm not a huge fan of that squib kick because the Ravens have the ball now out to the 33. I like kicking it deep, trying to force them to, you know, bring it out to the 20-ish.
Well, Mid-America,
I'm going to back it up a little bit. And
game clock operator, since the ball was touched, the clock will start, so I need 20 seconds. 20 seconds on the game clock,
yeah, see, they have to
please.
Take a little time off. Here's the thing. For Benedictine, just got to get it downfield. Hey, Raven football. Here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison in the waning moments. And for Benedictine, it is dire, dire times. First and 10. Back to throw. Quarterback Dooley, he's just going to launch this one into the crowd.
So you had double coverage down the middle of the field covering up the seam on Tanner Zimmerman. On the outside, they were running Jay Sean Todd on a little bit of a throwaway route. It was a backside out pattern. He had single coverage over there. So for Benedictine, didn't exactly get too deep in the passing tree right there.
Clock now at 14 seconds. That took six off the clock. That means you've got two, possibly three plays left. Second down. Ravens at the 33-yard line, so they're 67 yards from where they must get. Dooley will roll to the left, being chased. Throws one downfield, and it's going to be batted away and incomplete. Looking for Langofoyana, but he's not going to make that catch. And now we're down to 10 seconds and two plays left. in the game.
Yeah, you've got two plays left because 10 seconds dictates that it's about two plays. But you're also looking at third down. So for Benedictine, they've got their backs against the wall right now and seeing the light start to dim a little bit on that conference title and a ticket to the national tournament next week.
A couple of weeks ago, we were thinking
first week bye.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting here going, if you don't win
this
game, you're going to fall into a three-way tie. Let's talk about it. We've got a minute. Benedictine's going to call a timeout. So if you lose this game, we talked about it in the pregame, you fall into a three-way tie with Baker and Mid-America. All three of those teams have split against each other. Then it's going to come down to the highest ranked. Right now, Benedictine is 14. Baker is 22. Now, Benedictine, though, losing to a non-ranked team, you figure you could fall 7-8 spots. I mean, you could easily fall below Baker after this game if that's how that works. And don't it's just not a comfortable feeling for Ravens fans right now.
The decision's going to be made, and the announcement will come tomorrow night at about 6 o'clock. And we'll keep you posted as to what all happens with that. But yet, hey, hope springs eternal, and BC has two plays to change all of that. Maybe two. The first one takes too long, maybe one.
Pops is going to be the last guy off the field out there.
He's the last guy I want off the field. I want him out there every moment you can get him out there.
He said the Huskies in the 1952 Rose Bowl ran this play.
Well, we'll see if it works. Third down and long, BC. Back to throw, Dooley passes over the middle, and it's going to be caught. Now they're going to run a little hook and ladder business, but they're going to say he's down the 45-yard line, and the Ravens are going to take their last timeout. So the foolishness does not work. It is a diving catch was made for Benedictine by Tanner Zimmerman, but he had already had a knee on the ground when he tried to lateral that football, so it was dead at that juncture, and we now have 4 seconds left in the game, maybe the season.
The result of the play was a completed catch. Resulted in a first down. Timeout, Benedictine. This is their third, final timeout of the half.
Okay, so for the Ravens, you know, you got one play left, right? Is there only one play in the book at this point?
Chuck it deep, hope
for
the best, right?
Don't you? You probably can't throw it. I mean, let's be honest. Jackson can't throw it to the end zone from here, but you get it downfield, you hope for some kind of a defensive penalty or something. I mean, so for the Ravens right now, this is called grasping at straws time.
Yeah, because the problem is this isn't the NFL where you throw the ball 50 yards downfield and you get a pass interference, you get the ball at that spot. This is you throw it down the field, get a pass interference, best case scenario, you get the ball all the way down to Mid-America's 40-yard line and get an untimed down.
Yeah.
Is that much better? You know, I mean, I guess from there, Jackson could get it to the end zone. I'm also wouldn't have been surprised if we saw Caden come out just because he's got the bigger arm. Here we go. Matthew Sanford's going to be in there. You're going to have Jayshon, Jacob, and Zimmerman.
Mid-America's got three defenders standing at the 10-yard line, one in the middle and one on the numbers on each side. They have three guys going to rush the ball. They got five linebackers standing about 15 yards deep.
It's a 3-5-3.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it is. And here we go, the final play of the game. Dooley's back, throws it short. And now the Ravens are going to start laddering it around, and this is going to go nowhere. And this game is over. The final score this afternoon, Mid-America 38, Benedictine 31. And we'll be back to summarize it for you right after this.
Hi, this is Carly with BNP Propane. At BNP Propane, we want you to experience the utmost safety and climate friendliness with propane. Its clean nature minimizes emissions, ensuring a greener planet. Discover the versatility of propane in outdoor fire pits, tiki torches, grills, and generators, making every outdoor moment special. Choose BNP Propane for a sustainable lifestyle and unforgettable outdoor experiences. Call us at 785-364-3711 to learn more about how we can help you enjoy the great outdoors.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room. Locally owned and operated, Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods and great beer, wine, and spirits, you always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Hi, I'm Laura Weiser from Exchange Bank.
In today's world of technology, online banks are popping up everywhere, promising better, more convenient banking. But there's still no better way to bank than with people you know and trust. Exchange Bank provides internet and mobile banking, but we're also here offering personal, face-to-face service you just don't get with online banks. Come see us. We're here for you.
Exchange Bank and Trust. Community-minded, that's my bank.
They got a tale of two halves of the field out there now as the teams have met in the center and exchanged pleasantries on the north side. The Benedictine team, Gus, they're just kind of standing around and in a daze. I think they can't believe what has just happened. On the other end, the south end, where Mid-America, they're rolling on the ground. They're leaping, dancing, high-fiving, and they deserve to be. They came out of the gates hard. They played very well. They had a game plan that they executed, and they came home with a win and a part of the conference championship.
Is there a trophy?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just see Tyler out on the field with what looks like a trophy.
Wow. Well, there you go. If so, it's going to Olathe.
You know, when it's all said and done, though, Mid-America is going to come away with a victory. I don't know where yours
is. I don't know. It's okay.
Mid-America, they come away with a victory.
Oh, I got him. I found him. No, it's okay. It's good. Go ahead.
Mid-America is going to come away with a victory here today, and for them, they're going to get a conference championship. Benedictine's going to walk away and they're going to say, well, we kind of get a conference championship too. Baker is going to walk away and say, cool, thank you, we're going to get a conference championship. And when it's all said and done, now we sit back and instead of 2 weeks ago, I was thinking we were going to be getting a bye on Saturday to 2 days ago, I was saying, okay, well, we're going to be home this Saturday too. We should probably go ahead and talk about these seniors because, again, this may be the last time we get to see
these seniors. I even got them all lined out here in a whole list and all of that, and so we would want to do that. But there was so much going on at the end of the game, never really got a chance to incorporate the names of some of these guys because these are names that you know and you should know and who've been fantastic, like Joel Mavis and Victor Terry, Jagger Bluebaugh, Reed Levi, Luke Laskowski, A.J. Calcara, Carson Anderson, L.J. Richardson, Blue Kaplinger, you had Isaac Anderson, Jacob Nielsen, Bryce Nichols, Zion Mathis, and Tate Vowles, seniors for this Benedictine football team. Great guys, all of them. They've had tremendous and positive impacts on the program.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, like, the two guys you added this year in Carson Anderson and Jagger Blueball. Those are both guys that came in this year, one from William Jewell, one from William Penn. They both made huge strides on the defensive side for you. And again, I know we're talking right now like there's not a next week, and right now I think we just kind of have to assume that there's a good chance there's not a next week. Now again, the chips will fall where they'll fall, and there might be a next week, but at this point we just can't be sure of anything until tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Yep. And we're going to be there for that, and we will keep you posted with how that goes. But again, rough afternoon for the Benedictine Ravens in week 10 of the season. They fall to 8-3 in the final regular season mark as Mid-America comes away with a 38-31 win over the Ravens. Now, we're going to ask you to stick around. Now, Joseph is going to check out because he's going to go on to Points Fun. And, Joseph, thank you. We're going to be making a trek down to the gymnasium, where the drop filling gym will find the Benedictine guys at home. A 5 o'clock tip-off, so we're less than an hour away from Raven basketball. Get a final score here in the football game today. Mid-America winning at 38-31 over Benedictine. Until we greet you from the gym, for Joseph, our producer engineer. Joseph, well done as always. Thank you. For Gus Couts with me here. And Cora, is that you? Say hello.
Hello.
All right. Tom Couts. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority, KAIR 93.7 FM, and streaming at KAIRFM.com. Our coverage of Benedictine Raven Football is brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.
Here is your Hot Country 93.7 forecast. Lows level off around 36. Tonight, under mainly clear skies, southerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 67. Tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Clear skies and quiet again. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 35. Mainly sunny skies and calm Monday, with daytime highs approaching 67. 66 Tuesday. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford.